This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
show your back. From out of space, I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that suit. I should have made you leave your key. No, for just 1 second, you'd be back to body.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the 17th October edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Urson, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And I'm Wes Laverne, your friendly neighborhood intern.
Ta-da!
Tonight's show is brought to you by the letters H1 and N1.
Well, isn't that nice?
How special.
We had a packed show scheduled for you.
Did.
We really did.
In fact, I was considering not even showing up. There was so much going on.
We were prepared. We had whips were coming in.
Women in power.
But the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go, well, we've got Gigi coming in. The flu.
The flu.
Jimmy is a walking, hacking storm.
Yes.
But that's every week.
And I'm on vacation.
And I can't stick it in.
Jimmy can't stick it in right now. Don't you hate it when you're
busy? There's a first.
If it helps, I'll go like this so you can try and...
Yeah.
What? So you have a hole to go through the hole. Can you hear us now?
No.
Turn up his volume.
We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by while Jimmy tries to figure out what hole he can stick it in and make it go. Can you hear us now? Can you queer me now?
No.
Can you queer me now? All right, let's do this. Hold on. Let's do this. Okay. I know these headphones work. Because I was able to...
This is community radio. Y'all are having all sorts of fun in there.
I've got this.
Give me this.
Take that.
Can you hear me, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, can I?
All right.
Oops. Need a big hole.
Uh-oh.
That's a big hole. There.
Now, this just in. Chris has a big hole.
Oh, so many ways to go with that.
Yes.
Hey, these microphones work. These headphones work.
Not on my head.
You probably had them on backwards.
Probably.
Sure. Okay, how was everybody's week?
Well, I had a short week because I started my vacation yesterday.
No kidding.
Yes. So I've been on vacation.
So where are you going?
Right here in good old Houston.
I see.
To the repair shop early.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I just kind of slept in really, really late, and then today I
laugh at your lateness. What do you call late?
Actually, I think I got up about Jimmy standard time today.
Noon?
I mean, yesterday. Yeah.
Very good.
Actually, I take that back. I was up at 1.
Because
the other two were asleep until about 2 or 3.
You do me proud.
And then today I slept until about 11,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't get up until about 3 or 4.
What do these people do at night?
So
there's three of them. You're surprised to get any sleep.
Oh, he gets.
Well, I found a new game that I've been playing, so it's actually kind of fun.
Go figure.
How does he have time?
He's got 220-somethings living with him, and he's looking at games. Okay.
Hey, I can do it all.
I guess.
I can do it all. That's why I have to take vacation every once in a while.
Mm.
And other things that begin with the letter V.
Oh, goodness. So how was y'all's week?
Stanley was here.
Okay, that's enough said on that subject.
Yeah, he goes back tomorrow, which means he'll be calling me at 11:15.
To drive his happy self up to the airport.
Yep. And, of course, I'll be getting to sleep at about 7. So, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So, Jimmy will be up in my neck of the woods tomorrow.
So, appearing...
Briefly. Very briefly.
So, appearing at the ABS at, well, Clayton and 59.
Actually, no one is appearing at that one because it's closed.
Oh, it is it?
Yes, it is.
When did that happen?
About a week ago.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
I wasn't sure. I hadn't heard the final verdict. I've been reading the stories.
Oh.
I actually sometimes read on the internet.
Do you now?
Yeah. Not always nifty.
Hmm. And your week?
It was a week. It was one thing after another, and I need a vacation from work.
Wow.
Well, take some vacation time.
I've got 10 days vacation time to use by the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, I was right.
By the end of the year.
Mm.
Yeah, so I've threatened them that what I'll do is I'll take off Wednesdays. So I'll look forward to this really weird schedule of 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, then 2 days off.
Hmm.
And do that for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the year, basically.
There you go.
You know, just show up when I want to. But then again, we're all sitting there hoping we'd win the Mega Millions yesterday. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, vacation days or, you know, health insurance plans and all that other good stuff.
Some sucker for bad estate won.
Really?
Oh, they did? Mm-hmm. Damn.
No,
$200 million.
What's his name?
I don't know. They didn't
Daddy.
Print the name.
Well, they no, they probably, yeah, name. He hasn't come forward yet. Something like that, your first call is to a lawyer and an accountant.
Oh, is that right?
Well, basically, you want to make sure you have your stuff in line.
What stuff?
Well, you're receiving, okay, if it was just him, $200 million, so he was going to walk home, if he takes the lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Who wouldn't?
Now, if you took the cash option, you were getting $129 million. Minus 30%.
At least 30%.
Yeah,
more like 40.
No, 30% only in taxes for taxes.
It's
on that.
Stanley pays 39.
No, on lottery winnings.
Oh.
So, you know, you want to make sure you got all your stuff in line before, you know, you walk out of there and there's 35 women and 3 men in dresses there waiting to propose to you. Welcome to Massachusetts!
Yeah.
I was lovely this time of year. you know, I mean, you want to get all that stuff squared away. We were teasing about it at work. There was 8 of us that went in.
I'm still trying to figure out what to get squared away. You either get the money or you don't.
Well, no, you want to make sure that once you have it, you know, where you're going to put it, you know. It's not like you walk into the liquor store and say, hey, can you cash this check for me?
No, put it in your account and then...
Okay, but...
But what?
The way banks are nowadays... You're only insured up to $500,000 in your account.
Oh, that's not too cool, is it?
So you want to make sure that you have it split up of how it's going to go there. How much are you going to give away to, you know, how much you want to take out immediately for charitable donations? You know, do you want to bring that money in as kind of like a corporation and you pay yourself a salary out of it so you're not paying as much taxes over the long term?
Well, how much money can you disperse at EJ's?
Those are a different kind of charity.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But no, I mean, or if, you know, it was said there was just one ticket, it could be one of those things where people went in at work.
Yeah.
And so basically you have to get a lawyer in to form this agreement or a partnership, basically, a legal entity to go in and collect this money and disperse it.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's not, like I said, we kept teasing at work that it came out to $11.17 million a share after taxes. And everyone was saying they were going to beat down my door if we won. Because I had the one who went out and got the tickets. So they assumed I had them.
And actually, you didn't buy them at all? You just kept the money?
Yes. I said, the screw it with a chance of winning $200 million. I'm taking these $21 and I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I get the boy or the penicillin? I'll need the penicillin if I get the boy. But, you know, just do both. Can we go halvesies? But no, I mean, it's one of those things I haven't been a great deal into, but it's one of those fantasies you go through of what are you going to do with that money?
You know exactly what you're going to do. I do.
No, my plans have changed over the years.
Mine haven't.
Well, you haven't. Mm. Well.
I'm old.
I have to give it to it fast. I got no one to give it to. What am I going to do, give it to Judy's pussy? I bequeath the remainder of my lottery winnings to Judy's Dewey pussy.
And Judy's cat, named Dewey, will be very happy to get it.
You can get the good stuff.
He'll be able to go buy that good catnip.
Like I've always teased her, you know, before I had this idea of what I called a Chubbapalooza tour. You know, basically...
Chubbapalooza?
Yeah. I was going to get laid in every state and Canada. And then by then, maybe my passport would be in and I can go hit Europe. And, you know, big guys are very popular in Asia. You know.
Really?
It's that looking like Buddha thing.
Oh.
So I got to get fitted for the clock first.
Yep.
That was my original plan. Now it's like, I'm going to a doctor.
Yeah, but... What?
I'm going to go to a doc. Yeah, I'm actually going to be high tech. It's a digital clock. I was going to get stuck in there.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. With my luck, though, it'll just be flashing 12 for a while, so I forgot how to push the right buttons.
It's the only thing you're going to have stuck in there.
Oh!
You don't know the kind of guys I meet.
I've seen a couple.
But now it's like, I'm going to a doctor and go.
Yeah, okay. He should, because I've seen some of the guys he's met. Doctor?
Damn, yeah. He's just winging them right at you tonight. He's in rare form.
Oh, I'll be paid back in spades. Don't worry.
More than just spades, darling.
No.
You'll get the whole deck.
Mm.
No, spades isn't what we're going to use to dig the grave with.
Well, that'll be afterwards.
No, it's like I'm going to find a doctor and go, okay, find a hole, put a finger, put an eyeball, put a camera, put something in there. Tell me what's wrong.
Whoa.
I want a complete workup. It's one of those weird things you have, you know.
I see.
I had a discussion with one of my coworkers there about
fingers.
No, sending a camera crew up the down the Hershey Highway.
I see. Up the Hershey Highway would be more like it.
We had a customer who's a gastroenterologist.
Oh.
And so she was asking the kind of stuff they do, and so I explained it. She's like,
I know. Can you imagine spending your whole day looking up people's anuses?
Well, they dig a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when they send in the camera crew, I try to explain to her, I said, you know, they dope you up enough, you don't know a thing.
Yeah, because they're checking.
So you don't know what they're putting up there.
I had the minor, the smallest one of it done, the Flex Sig once.
So that's what they told you.
Well, yeah. It's the same size camera, just depends on how far they spelunk in.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Flex Sig, then there's
I don't know.
I forget the rest.
I've never had any of that.
Is it GI
down
after that?
Well, yeah, that's the area they're going through. They're Flex Sig, colonoscopy, and a whatever the next one is. But you know, they dope you up so much.
Mm-hmm.
They started, and I didn't know they had started.
Oh wow!
And I know I'm kind of desensitized down there, but you know, I, as a good bottom, I should recognize something going on. I didn't realize it, so you're looking up at there's a big TV.
Well, for you, if you went to Asia, you might not.
So you're watching a television, and all of a sudden I realize, hey, that's not the ceiling I see on the TV.
What do you know?
We're going down a tunnel.
Oh.
Oh, we started. Whoa. You know.
And then you were gone.
And then Chris gets to see the world from a different angle.
Did I just go there?
I don't know why we are talking about this or even how we got there. I
feel so much like Katie Couric. We're discussing my ass. I'm going to cry now.
Oh, goodness.
God. Okay, folks, it's going to be that kind of show tonight.
But we're going to have fun.
Yes, we are.
Like I said, I've warned you here. I'm in one of those moods, you know, either I'm getting enough or not getting enough. We're in that mode.
Well,
he's not getting enough.
We have a phone caller.
And what kind of... Oh, who's going to get it?
I bet you I know what they're going to call and tell us. They're going to tell us, you know...
I don't know.
I know what it is.
Why don't you take it?
Go ahead, and I'll talk about the music that we heard. Oh, okay. He's going to take it, and you're going to...
We'll talk about the music we heard.
Okay.
Let me get my list here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Started off with Bronski Beat.
Yes.
I Love the Nightlife.
And that was a version from the mid-90s. They put out a CD, early mid-90s, and I know when you listen to it, you know it's not Alicia Bridges, but you don't know exactly who it is, but you would never think it's Bronski Beat. Anyway.
And then we followed that up with a really slow version of the song. It wasn't the version I was hoping for.
Oh, I Will Survive by Gladys Knight.
Exactly.
I'm sending her to a death panel for that version of I Will Survive.
That's an old TV show that's at least 15 years old. A TV show that was done with Gladys Knight, Dionne Warwick, and Patti LaBelle. And it was...
Back when they all had careers.
And it was all live. Live studio audience. And
until that song was over.
Hey. They loved it. Are you kidding? And I have the original tape somewhere.
On Betamax.
Oh!
I never had Beta.
No, that's too technologically advanced for him.
Not him. You know, I think he had a laser disc.
But it was not. It was not in. In stereo, so unfortunately it's a mono version, which is not as exciting. But
they got a pill for that, you know.
Apparently that's what our guests have.
Mono, you just have to take your time with. Anyway, so I thought, and the reason we played that is because the guy from
DJ
the show,
Solar Grooves,
played a Spanish version of I Will Survive as kind of a segue from Solar Grooves into this...
Into our show.
Whatever this show is. This queer train wreck of a show.
I mean, the original guy of the show, and he can't even tell what kind of a show it is now.
Well, the funny thing is, Jimmy and I were out in the lobby.
Yes!
And I recognized the tune, and I look at him and go, what the hell are you playing?
And I hadn't really been listening, and all I hear is Spanish. I'm thinking, what? What? Because there's noise going on in the lobby, of course.
And so, and then I hear the DJ talking over, and I'm going, well, why is he talking over our music? And Jimmy says, I didn't play this.
And then I realized that it was I Will Survive in Spanish, which is so cool.
Yeah.
I hope he's here next week, so he can play that again, and we'll... Let the whole thing run. Play the whole version.
Start a little bit
Spanish
early on.
Spanish to English.
Yeah.
For our listeners out there, see if you can find us other versions of I Will Survive.
Oh, we have it.
No. Other languages.
Oh, other languages.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We'll find it in Russian or Italian or something.
I'm sure it's in many languages.
Imagine the German version sounds really angry.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I'll have to hit the internet this week.
Or Dutch. Dutch is even harsher than German.
Oh, try it in Hebrew.
Really?
Oh. I think that's probably one of the hardest languages I've ever sung in.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was... I found German and Spanish, and I've even sung in Russian. I found all those easier to sing.
Even Russian?
Even Russian.
Wow.
Easier to sing than...
Hebrew?
Hebrew.
But you're not used to singing left to right. Right to left, I mean.
My God.
Well, no, it was all the... You're looking at these words, and you're thinking that it's supposed to be pronounced one way, and you're completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near. It's not even in the same zip code with what you're supposed to... what you're thinking. Hell, sometimes I would look at some of those words and it wasn't even in the same country with me.
Wow.
Anyway. I swore I would never sing in Hebrew ever again.
Okay. And did you?
No.
Okay.
All right, so if we do that special event, we're putting him in a dress and singing in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
whatever.
He's doing Hava Nagila.
I'm having an Ila.
That sounds like a good drag name.
Oh, my
Hi, I'm
goodness.
Hava Nila.
Oh, my.
Watch, we'll have
my,
an up-and-coming drag queen take it.
I copyright it now.
Hey, I'm the one that came up with it.
I said it first.
Anyway, things going on in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
I know it's a little early because it's the fourth Monday is not for a couple of weeks.
It's next week, darling.
No, it isn't. 2 weeks.
This is the 17th.
Which would make this the third.
But he's talking fourth Monday.
Monday.
Oh, Monday. The 26th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, because on
this
the 4th...
I'm going back to vacation. See you later.
On 4th Monday is J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. And he recently had a birthday, so happy birthday, J.D.
All right.
It's about 2 weeks ago. I missed it again. But at least this year I was...
I'm not surprised he was standing at the front door waiting for you with a shotgun.
Yeah, well, I was only 2 weeks late this year. But last year I was 2 months late. Yeah, well, I had it down wrong on my calendar. I don't know how.
And the Alzheimer's kicks in early.
Hold on.
What?
I've seen your calendar.
Yeah?
It's a kind of perpetual calendar. It doesn't tell you what day of the week it is. It just shows you, says October 17th, and here's the penis of the day.
No, it's not that calendar.
So,
no.
You know,
I don't write on that calendar.
You can't because you had to laminate the pages.
Exactly.
Exactly. I saw January 20th. You licked the ink off.
Well, you would have, too. You shouldn't do that when he's having a drink of something. Just, you know, it gets all in the... it's terrible.
Wipe your nose, darling, because I don't think the tea comes out there.
It's not supposed to.
Oh.
It will do it, but it's not supposed to. Anyway.
Just be thankful you weren't drinking something carbonated. That would have hurt.
Yeah, I know. I've done that before. I did it with chocolate milk once.
Ooh. Ooh, that looks nasty.
I was in middle school. I was in elementary school when that happened.
Mm. Oh, so.
Shut up.
Okay. Okay, so...
Hey, Chris, did you say you had a spade in your trunk?
The fourth Monday of the month is Queer Music Heritage by J.D. Doyle, which is part of the second half of Queer Voices, heard every Monday night on this station from 9 to 11 p.m. So, he's started a transgender thing last month, and he's continuing it. For this month, for October. And because he just didn't have an... I mean, even though we did 3 hours, 1 hour was on the air, and then all 3 hours are on his website you can go to. For October, I have over 3 more hours, this time with in-depth interviews with Lisa Jackson, Coyote Grace, and Namely Brennett, along with lots of surprises and TG music from some genres you may not expect. And, of course, plenty to celebrate our history. So, when you listen to Queer Voices Monday night, you're going to hear Lisa Jackson, Mark Angelo Cummings, Tim Walker, Coyote Grace, and Namely Brennett. And when you go to his website, queermusicheritage.com, there's all sorts of folks from All the Pretty Horses, a couple of things from Hedwig and the Angry Inch soundtrack, Lisa Jackson, Catastrophe, which we've played, Alex Davis, Maren Cadell. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you got to listen to it. queermusicheritage.org or no, dot, wait a minute here.
Com.
The com.
I think.
com, not com.
Go to the first page.
It would be queermusicheritage.com.
C-O-M.
That's right. So check that out. Okay. I believe you're next, Chris.
Sure, get him when he sticks something in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Well, while he's finishing what he's got in his mouth, I got a couple quickies real here.
I bet you do. I've seen them. They're sitting in the lobby.
Yeah. The Houston Gay Gamers has got a little thing going on tonight.
Do they?
They started it at 8 a.m. this morning.
Uh-huh.
Going to continue on until 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Extra Life 2009.
Can't you just jump in anytime?
Yeah. Head on over there. Help support that. That's to help out the kids with their...
So, is that a place you go to?
Yeah, it's over at Coffee Grounds, I believe. Well, it doesn't say on here, but I believe it's over at Coffee Grounds, their usual meeting spot, which is over on Bagby and McGowan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So head on over there, help these guys out. And then next Friday, they're having their usual meeting from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Again, over at Coffee Grounds. It's their usual club group meeting. They're going to have all the usual game systems up and running and everything.
Cool.
So. Went ahead and pulled those up. If you want to know more about that, you can go to...
to Houston Gamers, GAYMERS, right? Would that be...
I'm pulling it up. Hold on a second.
Oh, he's pulling it. Takes him a while.
I could go there and they can all laugh at me. I tried playing with a Wii earlier today and...
Oh, my. Didn't work out, huh?
I'm no Ringo Starr.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you don't have the jewelry for it.
Website is www.HoustonGamers, that's G-A-Y-M-E-R-S, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll link on that website. It's got a link to their Facebook page, so if you got Facebook, you can friend them and all that and be up to date on all their events going on.
Cool. And now we got a lot of queer gamers out there.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of them. I mean, mm-hmm. you go to their Facebook page and you can see just all the people that have... that are friends with them and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they right now they've got about 90 members, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more.
And they just started.
Yeah, it hasn't been around very long.
Yeah.
They got lots of photos from different events in here and everything. So check it out and then head on. Don't stay on there too long. Head over to Coffee Grounds tonight and help those guys out with their event tonight.
Sure.
And then that I got that out of the way.
Okay. Is it Chris's turn?
Yeah.
I guess.
I figured while he was finishing his Newton.
I'm such a geek, I needed to swallow a Newton.
I hid my eyes. I shielded my eyes. I averted my eyes, O Lord.
Well, it took you back in time. You actually had Newton.
Mm.
Domestic Violence Awareness Month is October. There'll be a life-size representation of Mary Martha Diggs at the MCC lobby. The sharing of her story, they hope to bring awareness to the important issue of domestic abuse and violence, which ruins many lives. Mary Martha Diggs was murdered in San Antonio on June 17, 2005. She was shot and killed by her friend, Judith Gloria Ritten, at a pool party. According to police, they were lovers. Witnesses said the motive for the shooting was jealousy. There were at least 44 witnesses who saw the shooting and pointed to Ritten as the shooter.
Mm. And they were not young.
No, Mary Martin Diggs, the victim was 74. The assailant was 64.
That's amazing.
The GLBT community is not immune from domestic violence. In fact, 1 in 4 same-sex relations include some form of domestic abuse. In transgender relationships, the statistics are even more staggering. 1 in 2 relationships involve abuse.
Mm.
Different kinds of abuse include verbal abuse, using words to belittle, shame, threaten somebody. Emotional abuse, using rejection, isolation, or exploitation to lower the self-esteem of someone. Financial abuse, removing someone's ability to work and or restricting their access to money. Spiritual abuse, not allowing someone to practice their faith in a manner which they choose, or using one's faith as a means to set the rules in a relationship.
Mm.
And sexual abuse, forcing someone to perform sexual acts by coercion or rape. If you need assistance, contact the Montrose Counseling Center at 713-529-0037. If you need help in an emergency situation, call 911 or call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at 713-529-3211. You can get help 24 hours a day, and they can refer you to sources to help you. You can also remember you're not alone. There's a relationship wellness support groups, and they meet on Tuesday evenings. For more information, you can go to MontroseCounselingCenter.org or, as I said, call 713-529-0037. new community directory on the Switchboard website. If you haven't already, please visit the newly designed Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston website. One of its components is a GLBT resource directory. Its GLBT dedicated and GLBT affirming service provides providers in the Houston area and Southeast Texas region. You can go to gayswitchboardhouston.org. Remembering Matthew Shepard and the importance of services for hate crime survivors. October 12th marked the 11th year since the tragic death of Matthew Shepard, who was murdered near Laramie, Wyoming, because he was gay. Matthew Shepard's death shed a light on the discrimination and abuse that GLBT individuals sometimes face and brought international attention to the issue of hate crimes legislation. If you feel you've been a victim of a hate crime, contact the Master's Counseling Center for support and advocacy services to individuals at 713-529-0037. It's almost the same thing as what we had on the...
Mm-hmm.
Need to combine those two.
Yeah.
Coming up here in a couple hours on Sunday...
Sunday!
October 18th, over at the BRB at 7 p.m., the fourth annual Knights of the Roundtable, Living with HIV/AIDS in Houston. MCs for the night is Christopher Garrett and Anne-Marie Gill.
Oh, boy, that girl gets around. I mean, she was at an event last night that I went to. We'll talk about that later.
Oh. There'll be free HIV/AIDS.
I didn't know they held those at the ABSs.
I wasn't at the ABS.
It was a different kind of kneeling involved in the song.
I was in the tuxedo.
Oh.
There'll be free HIV/AIDS and syphilis testing. All proceeds from the event go to Legacy's Body Positive for the nutritional program. Donations help the community in our community. This is the Rhesus logo. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Mm-hmm.
They take plastic at the event. This is for with Legacy Community Health Services. Sponsors are the BRB and PWA Holiday Charities. Save the date on Thursday, October 22nd. The secret is out.
Yes.
Come find out why the Montrose Counseling Center is the best-kept secret in Houston's gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. At 6 p.m., a reception, and 7 p.m., light dinner and presentation. This is at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard, first floor. Do you believe the MCC's mission to empower GLBT individuals and their families to enjoy healthier, more fulfilling lives? If you ever wanted more information about our culturally affirming services and how they improve quality of life? So come in there. You can RSVP at 713-800-0872 or contact communitydev at montrosecounselingcenter.org.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble catching a breath.
Well.
Tickets are on sale for the 15th anniversary Houston Women's Festival celebration. Tickets are now on sale for $16. At the door, it's $23. Come join 1,200-plus women.
And 5 men.
On Saturday, October 24th, for the 15th anniversary of this great event that celebrates women, music, art, culture, and community. We have a great lineup of music this year, including Michelle Malone, Halcyon, Sick of Sarah, Vicky Martinez, Natalia Zuckerman, Trina Hamlin, and more. Ginger Lay lends her humor and sharp wit as MC. For more information, go to hwfestival.org.
And HW Festival, does that height and weight proportion?
No, that'll be HWP.
Oh, okay.
Nice try.
Oh, well.
DDF.
I got your DDF right here, baby.
Not since 79. Ha! For those of you who don't know, we're speaking in Craigslist speak. Mr. Prime Choice, Prime Choice Texas 2009 presents A Night at the Tickler. an erotic art and object auction benefiting the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum.
Yay!
That'll be on October 24th from 8 to 11 p.m.
That's next Saturday night, folks.
401 Bernard at the GLBT Cultural Center.
Uh-huh.
$7 for an open bar and peep shows and a DJ.
Uh-huh.
Erotic attire encouraged, must be street legal, clothing check at the door.
Yes, there will be.
Tim's all excited from that, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's got his little inch ruler.
And Robert Kahn is going to be doing the clothes check.
Ah.
Since Lloyd Powell will be one of the live auctioneers. We are basically turning the ballroom of the Montrose Counseling Center into an adult bookstore for the evening. Well, the ambience of an adult bookstore. We can't go overboard with this. But there will be lots and lots of erotic art. And by erotic, I mean everything from slightly sexy to some would call pornographic. And objects. Yes. And in fact, Wichita told me that he just got a box from Titan Media with 45 DVDs.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he'll be making up packages. Because there's going to be a silent, so to speak. there's going to be a silent auction section and a live auction. So.
I would hate to see what you're going to use for the paddles on live auction scene.
My.
Also, don't forget, we'll be having them in here next week. Stage Door, Inc. presents Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, my goodness.
This presentation is rated R.
Good.
This is the version that was not sanitized to put on the film.
Yay!
The performances start next Friday and go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Performances on Friday and Saturday are 8 p.m., Sunday performances are 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
with a special performance at midnight on Halloween.
Oh boy!
The Halloween midnight performance, you must RSVP online, buy your tickets.
Yeah, well,
because
bet.
The mall will be closed by that time, so you'll need that to enter the theater. You go to stagedoorinc.com and check them out. And like I said, we will be having them here next week. As they'll be coming from their second performance. It's only a 3-week run.
Oh.
It's a very short run.
Oh, so you better get in there.
So, you better get in there. I'll be down there the Halloween night at 8 performance.
So I'll bet you will.
Just wait till you see Frank in here next week. Because you didn't see him when he was here.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Like I said, Frank is like normally 6'9".
Yeah.
And in the boots, he's like 7'4".
Jeez.
Boy. Big old tall drink of water, huh?
Yeah, he goes from playing an evil dentist to a mad scientist.
Wow. Wow. That'll be fun. That'll be fun. So, does anybody want to know why I had a tuxedo on last night?
I know why you were there.
Where?
Remember, I'm the one who approves most of the things that go on the Louis list?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the thing from your CFRE.
What?
I don't know. It's some real estate license he got. He puts on there. It makes it look like he has a title.
He doesn't know either.
Yes, I do.
What?
You were at Entombment.
Yes, I was. I was at the Burial Court of Houston annual ball.
They're still around?
Which is the... Yes, they are.
Amazing.
And it was...
We don't hear anything from them. You never call, you never write, you never send me flowers, you know.
I know.
Call up and tell me to piss off. I mean, come on.
The step down of this year's co-presidents, who are, you know, a emperor and empress, and the stepping up of next year's co-presidents. There's only one stepping down.
Gemini Empress 7.
Actually, yes. Actually, she is
Gemini Empress 4.
Very good. And you weren't even there.
I actually read the email before I approved it.
I didn't see that email.
I think I approved it before you woke up.
Okay.
It.
Okay. Yes.
Gemini Empress 4. She was the Regent Empress 7.
That's right. In the imperial court system, you don't get a number until you complete your year and have been approved by the College of Monarchs. So that's why it can be the seventh year of operation, and you only have four empresses.
Yeah.
So, and congratulations to the new emperor and empress, Jeff Wallace and Fallian Carter Cohen.
That was Cohen Cartier.
Either way.
Is it the House of Cartier? The
Cohen Cartier? Yeah, the guy comes first. Mark Cohen and Chanel Cartier.
Yeah, but I thought the stable was called the House of Cartier.
I don't know.
You were part of the group for how many years?
I know. You know, but everybody has their little house, and so, you know it's
Jimmy's,
hard to,
it's Jimmy's hard to got keep his up. House, the House of Carper.
No, I don't. No, I was never a monarch.
He was the highest he went was Duke.
I was just a caterpillar.
He was a heavy machinery equipment.
I took care of it. Anyway, congratulations to the Imperial Court of Houston, and good luck in the coming year
and
all your
winners.
Endeavors. And it was a lot of fun. Plus,
the awards they handed out.
Yes. Every year, GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc., and ICOH do a joint award. It's the Hall of Fame Award. And Anise Parker has received it, Jack Jackson, Sean Carter. And
the Sofa Queen won it this year.
Absolutely. Judy Reeves became the latest to receive the...
I had to say queen, because if you say king, it sounds so bad.
Yeah. Well, she was in drag. I mean, she had you know, the big glitter dress on and her crown.
And the bitch pin?
No, she didn't wear the bitch pin. No, this was serious. Last night was a serious...
She's been awarded that, for, what, 5 or 6 years in a row by ICOH.
I know.
Isn't that her secondary title?
But she was there as Archduchess. And so she had the crown and, you know, the Archduchess pin and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Did she take along her Dewey pussy with her?
No, she did not.
No. Her bag couldn't fit. She couldn't
fit
her Dewey pussy in the bag.
I don't know what she did with her Dewey pussy.
Her little clutch.
Did we have a replica of Jimmy's couch over there?
No.
That's how when they offered the display, you know, it'd be like how they have Archie Bunker's chair in the Smithsonian. They're going to have Jimmy's couch for her.
Because she spent a year living with me in my one bedroom apartment. After the hurricane, yes. So, it's time for...
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that.
Yeah, Wes.
My turn for announcements.
Mm-hmm.
For their 2009-2010 season opening concert, the Houston Pride Band will fuse popular genres of music together to create Popera. This Pops concert will showcase popular music with an operatic theme. You'll have space operas, classic opera, and a night at the theater with the musical selections from Star Wars, Phantom of the Opera, Carmen and Wicked, among others. In keeping with the effort towards helping the community, the Houston Pride Band will donate ticket proceeds from this concert to the Bayou City Performing Arts.
Oh, good.
And its associated family of choruses, including the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, the Bayou City Women's Chorus, the Bayou City Choral, and Bayou Rhythms. For more information on the BCPA, you can visit their website at www.BayouCityPerformingArts.org.
Mm.
They're going to have a concert on the 24th at 7:30 p.m. over at Resurrection MCC, located at 2025 West 11th Street. And tickets are available online at HoustonPrideBand.org and will be available at the door. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents Sofonda's Pumpkin Patch, presented by Emperor 25 J.P. Gill, and hosted by Imperial Princess Lillian Devereaux.
Oh, that sick bitch.
And Count Doug Weiss.
Oh, now that
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now that...
He finally got it right.
Can you imagine? I'm just trying to imagine Lillian and Doug together on a stage. That's just got to be not a well thing, you know?
Well, you know, it's going to take place on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 25th at 8 p.m. over at the BRB.
Really?
They're going to have a murder mystery contest. And I'm betting you it was Lillian that did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that bitch would do it.
Try to figure out who killed the performer. And they're going to have a decorated pumpkin auction.
Mm-hmm.
The show is open to all performers and a benefit for legacy and
decorated
chaos.
Pumpkin?
Decorated pumpkin.
Wow.
Yeah, but the question is, which one of the performers are going to find face down on the bar floor? So many choices.
I know. Well, Lillian's already been there, so...
Been there, done that, yeah. Had the commemorative plaque.
Yeah, she sure does.
It's right here under the scalpel. Right under the hairline.
Oh, what do we got here? On October 28th, Q-Fest is screening Out in the Silence over at the Rights Media Center. Joe Wilson co-directed an acclaimed new documentary. It's a 7 p.m. screening, which is open to the public. College and high school students with a valid ID will be admitted at no charge. Other individuals will be asked to contribute a $5 donation. Wilson will speak at the screening. A panel discussion featuring local individuals who grew up in the rural and small-town environments will follow. This recounts the difficulties that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people face in rural and small-town America.
Oh, boy.
When pumping the handle didn't mean just masturbation.
That's right.
The filmmakers Joe Wilson and Dean Taylor aim to use their movie to promote dialogue and action that will help people on all sides of the issue find common ground, as they state on the film website, which is at www.outinthesilence.com. Let's see here.
So you got some action going in the lobby, Chris?
Yeah, right.
Oh, how about that?
I'll be out there in a second, just coming up to the top of the hour here.
I wouldn't let that man wait. Yes?
Are y'all done in there?
You have one minute to PSA. 1 minute to PSA.
Oh.
Yeah, no, and I got four announcements go.
Well, I guess, yeah, okay.
All right, let's just hold off on that. Let's go to the PSA.
Yeah,
let's do that, and I'll come back. Because I have five, because I've got a text on one that I need.
Oh, okay.
So
you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1.
FM.
There's a first. 90.1 FM.
And 89.5 Galveston. Always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Holy mackerel.
You have never, ever done that. I love it.
Oh.
I just love it. He's human.
Yep. Here's your PSAs.
The world financial system is in the grip of the most severe crisis since the Great Depression, and working class people will be asked to pay for the economic disaster in a number of ways. Higher prices for food and other necessities, millions of foreclosures and evictions, greater unemployment, growing poverty, government programs cut back or eliminated, and rising tensions throughout society. The Texas Socialist Conference aims to provide space to debate and clarify strategies for change. Learn from the history of previous struggles and put forward a vision for the future. Join socialists and progressive activists from across the region to discuss the key issues facing the left today, as well as how we can build a revolutionary alternative to the capitalist system of war, racism, and poverty. November 14th through the 15th at the University of Texas at Austin. For more information, visit texassocialism.org. KPFT, Houston.
KPFT 90.1 FM presents the One World Music Jam, Ancient Beats, Ancient Rhythms, Saturday, October 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. Experience the dynamic, thunderous sounds, graceful movements, and symbolic regalia of percussion groups representing traditional cultures from Africa, Asia, the Americas, and Europe performing together for the first time on the same stage during this music and dance celebration of our undeniable oneness. Only on this one night will you witness a jam session featuring members of Kumba House Dance Theater, Grupo Mirotiani, Caminari Taiko, Space City Gamelan, and Spot Albert in a finale you won't want to miss. The readers of the Houston Press voted KPFT as the best radio station in both 2008 and 2009. Visit us at kpft.org for current updates on the One World Music Jam. This is KPFT, Houston.
From this life,
such a
dreams, man of my dreams, man of my glad, I'm at the man of my dreams, man of my dreams, man of my dreams, man is around, I'm at the man of my dreams.
Nice, some music there.
Yeah, what was that?
That one. Ah, where'd it go? I got so much crap going on over here.
Yeah.
Mark and Dean,
My Dreams. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just sounded like a good song just by the title.
Yeah, that's a sweet couple. They haven't put anything out in a while, but I liked that particular CD because of their relationship. It just kind of enhances yeah. all of the songs.
He looks Hawaiian.
Could be. Could be.
Good possibility.
Certainly mixed race.
Yeah.
And before that?
Was Leviticus Faggot by, and I'll let you say this one.
Oh. I Michelle and Deg and
yeah. See, now you know why I didn't want to.
Indegio. I haven't said this name in a long time. Indegio Cello.
Yeah, what he said. With all the difficulties.
Yes.
So yeah.
That used to just roll off my. But it doesn't anymore.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You had a couple of more
yes,
items.
Yes, I got about. I got about. Four or five more here.
Okay.
Since we took so long at the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know. We were having fun.
Yes, we were. And we'll have more tonight.
Yes.
I was having a tribute to Merlin there.
Yeah. There you go.
Merlin, who is...
Frolicking in the woods.
Yes, it's Samhain.
Yes, it
so
is.
So he is out drumming and...
CMA Samhain tonight.
Yeah. Dancing around the bonfire and all that okay. kind of happy
stuff. So Samhain is actually in
it,
2 weeks.
Yeah, it is.
So he's out doing CMA Samhain tonight.
Yeah.
So, but moving on,
uh-huh.
the annual Big Knobs on Broomsticks
Ooh,
by Gingivitis.
And she was lovely last night. She had on this pink dress. Looked
yeah.
hot.
For, this is going to be happening on Friday, October 30th at 8:30 p.m. over at EJ's.
Yeah.
So come on over. Have some fun doing that.
What's the green hanky for?
Money.
Oh, no, doing a leprechaun. That's right.
yeah.
I'm his lucky charms.
Yeah. It's going to be presented by the one and only Gingivitis.
Yes.
And Sarah Schlolander.
Schlolander. With she's bringing her Schlolanders with her.
Sarah and the Schlolanders.
Yes.
If you've ever met her, you'll understand who the Schlolanders are.
Oh, yeah.
Direct benefit for AFH's Camp Hope.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ginger's been doing that particular show for quite a few years now.
All right. On behalf of their Royal and Sovereign and Imperial Majesties Emperor 25 J.P. Gill mm-hmm. and Empress 25 Marisa Mink Ann Gill.
Marcia.
Yeah, I know.
Too many letters in there.
I don't know.
The board of directors and the entire general membership of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star
wow,
of Houston.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
We are pleased to announce and invite one and all to join us for Houston's Emperor and Empress 26th candidate announcements and show on Saturday, November 7th at 8 p.m.
Wow.
over at EJ's.
That's coming up already.
Huh? Yeah. 2517 Ralph Street. Come and meet those who will be trying to guide our organization through next year by running for the positions of Emperor 26 and Empress 26.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just scared me when you said November 7th.
Yeah, it's coming up.
I know. A
well,
couple
no,
of weeks.
Because we're just talking about something for November 14th.
Oh.
It's like, oh, I hope I'm not competing against that.
Wow.
Yeah. It will be a fun-filled evening of glitz, bling, and glamour. We hope to see everyone there.
Oh, you know Chris from Cult 45's? He's a new member.
Sure.
Yeah. You should. He's been here. He was here with the cults the last time they were here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where he's at. Yeah.
Okay.
He's doing a show on the 13th, and it's going to be an auction. That he's doing for the Cult 45's AIDS Trouble Fund.
Oh, okay.
More information as soon as I get it.
Okay.
We'll have more information on something on the 14th, hopefully next week.
Yeah.
Yep. A couple more here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, almost done. Ginger Lay is going to be over at the Mucky Duck on Tuesday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m. So mark your calendars. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
That's going to be from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. For more details and RSVP, go see their Facebook page.
Okay.
And then let's see here.
Oh, this is the one everyone loves.
Actually, I'm going to skip over that one for a second.
Okay.
Do this one first.
Okay.
Because my friend Mariah Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Who was here a few weeks back promoting her show, mm-hmm. is got another one going on again over at Whispers Bar on October 30th.
She's the one that was here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have bad knees, unlike you.
That was your knee?
don't know.
If it was something else, I sure as hell wouldn't be sitting here on a Saturday night with you. My dance car hopefully will be a little bit fuller.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so like I was saying, on October 30th at 10:30 p.m., they're going to have a costume contest. There's an entry fee. I'm not going to go into that since they're not 501(c)(3).
Oh, okay.
They're going to have tons of games and prizes throughout the night.
Fabulous.
So, again, that's going to be over at Whispers Bar up in Humble. That's at 226 First Street. They're now open 7 days a week, starting at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So go on over.
Humble.
And see how they have new 50 inches.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, they got a new 50 inches out there.
A new 50-incher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means for you 10 times. Then a rest, and then another 10 times.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so head on out there, see Mariah and her girls perform, have fun at the contest and everything.
Yeah.
And tell my new friend, the owner, Kathy, hi.
Oh. So. That's Friday the 30th, the day before Halloween, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then finally, hey, man, wake up!
Oh.
Improve your life. Improve your world. Now is the time. Take a look at the world, take a look at your life, and make a clear choice how to improve them both.
Mm-hmm.
The Mankind Project is a nonprofit organization that conducts personal development training for men around the world. Our trainings challenge men to develop their abilities as leaders, fathers, partners, husbands, sons, and elders in order to offer their deepest gifts and service to the world. The New Warrior Training Adventure is an intense, transformative men's training.
Mm-hmm.
To find out more, go to www.mkphouston.org.
This is for gay, bi, and straight men.
They
How HRC are they? They left out the trans?
I don't know. They've never. It's never been brought up in my presence.
The remaining 2009 dates are going to be on November 6th through the 8th,
mm-hmm.
and the December 4th through the 6th.
Wow.
All men are welcome to attend the Mankind Project's monthly open circles and social gathering. So contact them for dates.
I'd say trans are in.
Yeah. Let's see here. For more information.
Yeah, a trans man is definitely a Mankind Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. For more information, you can go to mkphouston.org. Their address is 6950 West 43rd.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful building.
Or you can contact Frank Alonzo. I don't even know how to say that last name.
What else is new?
Yeah. So contact Frank at mkphouston.org or Eric at mkphouston.org.
Okay.
And that's all I've got.
Okay, that does it.
We finally made it through them all.
We did. I do want to say, I was talking about the ICOH, Imperial Court of Houston, ball a little bit earlier. And it's a step down for the present monarch and the step up for the new. And I've got to say, I have been to all of the balls of ICOH. And I have never seen a classier step down than Regina Dane did last night. That was a class act. Wow. I'll talk more about it next time she's on the show. Got to get her and Lillian back on.
I better start
grease up that nut, the dump button.
I was going to say, I better start working my finger out.
Oh, don't give me a line like that. Woo-hoo. No, they're a lot of fun.
yeah.
And they try to avoid alcohol before they're coming on the air. I said try.
Try?
Yeah.
Is it cloudy outside?
I'll need my BS detector for that one.
I was going to say,
try. Sheesh.
And I'm by the window, too. Damn.
Ah, well, they failed.
I know.
They fail a lot.
And they're probably listening to us thinking about to cut us a call and let us have one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deny it?
Nope, no phone call yet.
Okay.
All right, then. So what else we got going on here?
Just recently, at the HRC dinner, President Obama stood up and announced that he was going to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And how many times has he said that this year alone?
And when asked when he would, he said, don't ask because I'm not going to tell you.
That's where I was going.
He's been saying that all
I know. Year. This is not something, though, that you can just snap your fingers and it's gone.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, because they snapped their fingers and it was in place.
Well, no. There has been... yes, Congress did make a law that codified... Come on, Amy. We don't bite much.
Hey.
Good.
Not very hard, anyway.
How you doing?
Good Lord. I didn't have to write this much there to get into college. Okay.
Read the instructions first.
Alrighty.
Okay. This is for the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but still.
You know, I mean, no, the fact is that, yes, Congress did codify part of it,
mm-hmm.
but I forget which organization looked through and said, you know, basically he can say you can ignore that law mm-hmm. as commander-in-chief and go in and say, you know, until the Congress gets their act together and reverses that, it can be...
Yes, I get it. But there's a delicate balance here. You've got a man who's a president that will be in power no more than 8 years. On the other side of the table, you've got all these generals that have been there for life and will be, and they actually run the services. So if they're not on board with what the president really wants to do,
there's the door.
They can drag their feet. They can do a lot of things. But,
no.
And he just can't get rid of all his generals.
Yes, he can.
Yes,
he can.
There are some that are waiting to step up and take their place.
And the thing is this, you know, if you want to get official with it and all that, he's the commander in chief. If he gives a direct order and a 5-star general says,
no,
I don't want to do that, technically that is
court-martial.
Insubordination.
Yes, technically it is.
And it's a court-martial offense.
So,
and, you know, but down the line, you're going to want to work with these guys for other things. That's what I mean by a delicate balance. It's very political.
You know, but the thing is, Jimmy, and from someone that's walked down that road...
Well, not exactly.
Well, I've walked down the military road.
You've been in the military. You've not been on that level.
I haven't been on that level, but it doesn't matter what level you're at. You're given an order. If it's a lawful order, you have to follow it.
I get it.
And if the president says, we're changing this, and as long as it is not hurting anybody and it's not a detriment to the American public,
mm-hmm.
then it's a lawful order.
And if they really don't want to do it, there's going to be roadblocks everywhere you look.
Yeah, and if they really don't want to do it, there's another guy waiting in line to take their place that will do it.
Yeah.
We're in a volunteer military situation.
Yes.
All those who are in service
mm-hmm.
at this time chose to be in there.
I get it.
And, you know, yes, recruitment is down, and mainly is that because we're in a state of war.
Yeah.
And people are not willing to get into the military service, you know, for the idea of, hey, I'm not going to be getting a college education out of this. There's a good chance that they may be shipped off to elsewhere.
Oh, of course.
And be killed.
There's a damn good chance.
But there's a lot.
So,
I mean,
very good chance.
You know, the bad part is you get, who's the HRC head? Signorelli?
Hmm?
Whoever the HRC president there said, basically...
Joe Solanes.
Solanes. Something along those lines.
It's Michael Signorelli who asked Joe Solanes to step down.
Okay. I got partial. Yeah. I get partial credit for that. But, you know, he basically told Obama, you know, if you get around to it in 2014, we're okay with it. Now, that's assuming, first of all, that Obama gets a second term.
Uh-huh.
And it's assuming we're going to back him.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, right now, I'd rather vote for a Republican. Based on the sole fact of this, I know where we stand with them.
That's a good reason. There's zero chance of getting rid of Don't Tell with the Republicans. But, zero.
Yes. But I'm not going to get lied to.
Well,
I know what I'm getting into. We're talking about a campaign that openly courted us. Redesigned their logo to put the rainbow in to embrace the GLBT community. Had us carry him to the inauguration, practically. We had a band go down Pennsylvania Avenue.
I get it.
To bring him in there. And then as soon as he got done with it, F you.
Well, that's what it looks like. I still have all the faith in the world in the man. And I still say, even though you seem to think that the rules are the same for five-star generals as they are for privates.
They are. They should be. They are.
No. Yeah. I mean, no, I understand what you're saying. You know, just because you've put in 20, 30 years. But guess what? If I remember correctly, when you take, it doesn't matter at what level you are in the military, you take an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States, correct?
Actually, it's to protect and serve.
Protect, okay.
It's basically the same oath of office or oath of enlistment that the Congress takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's the standard national oath. The only does that one different is the president.
The only difference is that when you join the military, you become a piece of equipment.
Well, you're considered government property. You're still a human being, but they consider you government property. Like if you were to go get a sunburn and report to medical to get taken care of, you could be written up for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not
that's what the GI stands for, government issue.
Yeah, but all levels. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new recruit in the service or you're a 5-star general. You all raise your right hand and say the exact same words.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference in a recruit saying it and a 5-star general saying it is a recruit says it once every 4 years or 2 years or whatever their contract is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get into the officer levels, they generally, because it takes an act of Congress for them to get their new rank, when they put that new rank on, they have to redo their oath of enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it every time that they get a new rank, which, again, is about every 4 years for them. So, but as far as the rules go, all service members, it doesn't matter if you're one day in service or you're 30 years in service, there's only one set of rules.
I hear what you're saying. I don't believe it, but I hear what you're saying.
That's the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It goes through all five branches of service, mm-hmm. and it counts for all ranks. Doesn't matter who you are. And if
it's the same as our civilian civilian criminal code that is supposed to be.
Oh yes, because the laws for a janitor are the same as for a CEO of a big company.
In theory, it is.
In theory,
in practice, it may not be.
Aha! And I'm saying it's the same in the military.
But that's the fault of those of us who are us at the lower levels, and we're not standing up and saying, excuse me, the law says that, you know, Skilling needs to basically fry for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, we shouldn't be giving him a slap on the wrist when, you know, a janitor took $2 out of the petty cash drawer to buy a gallon of milk for her kids because they needed it to survive.
And she's blacklisted for life. Yeah.
So, yes, unfortunately, the application of the law... Yeah. Is that so? You know, even if we do get Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed, even if we get DOMA repealed, even if they have all members of the Congress and the Supreme Court saying we love gays and we will treat them equally, we're still going to get the short end.
Of course,
yeah.
It's best just because somebody says this rule is over with doesn't mean that everything is roses from now on.
I got a couple in Louisiana to be glad to tell you that. The interracial couple in a parish in Louisiana who called up the Justice of the Peace saying, hey, we want to get married.
And
the Justice of the Peace asked, well, are you an interracial couple? And they said, yes. They said, well, I won't marry you.
See?
Because statistically, your marriage will not survive, and you'll have kids out of this marriage. And, you know, this is going to be detrimental to their to the children.
Yeah.
And
that law was repealed years ago.
And the thing is this, you know, in a twisted sense, his logic is correct. But half of all marriages end in divorce, whether it's same race, same color. You know, the only marriages that aren't failing at a rate of 0.5% is when it's same sex. It's those opposite sex marriages that are failing left and right, and independently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though the laws were changed and are on the books, and there is an outcry of this, but it's a lot, you know, I'm not hearing the outcry. I haven't heard the outcry yet of going, what the hell is he thinking? And, you know, the governor sending in somebody saying, okay, you marry these two.
Well, it is Louisiana.
Well, when you look at that's Governor Jindal.
Hello.
I don't know why we're wasting money looking at volcano research, and then, you know, a volcano pops up next to Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if they would have watched, you know, if the Alaskans were watching their volcanoes rather than Russia, then they maybe would have known it was coming.
This was a governor that was so totally against Obama's stimulus package, but took the money, handed it out, went all over the state, handed it out with his name on the check. Hello.
Gee, a politician who's a whore.
Imagine that.
Well, Governor Goodhair did this, you know.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Didn't want to give money to extend unemployment benefits, but he wanted to use it for rebuilding the governor's mansion, I believe. It's part of the stimulus money was used for.
Boy, if that isn't frivolous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he set his hair dryer too close to his can of hairspray, and it sparked a fire.
I see.
You think any good drag queen would know better. Yeah, and actually, we're going to be playing a little bit with Dan Choi later on. Because remember, I made a comment about the National March.
With Dan Choi?
Yeah, the National March for Equality last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can't wait to see what Fox News' coverage is.
Oh, boy. What was it?
Fortunately, I didn't have to do any research on this.
Mm.
Our special correspondent, John Stewart.
Yes.
Compiled a lovely report on
how Fox covered it?
Not just Fox, but the other stations.
Oh.
He did leave out one station, though, one network.
What, his own?
Logo.
Why?
Well, I guess he didn't figure their coverage mattered, because there was no coverage.
Well, you see, Logo isn't that kind of a station. They don't have a news team, per se.
They just lost it, but they are part of CBS and Viacom.
Yeah, well.
Do you know? Did you see what they did during the march?
No.
They put up a black screen with white letters says, "We're at the march."
You're kidding me.
Yeah. If you want to find out coverage, go to 365gay.com.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. I didn't go to Logo.
That was their coverage.
Wow.
So, if you wanted to see what happened in Washington,
mm-hmm.
you had one source.
Which was that?
C-SPAN.
Oh. Oh.
So, that was the only source for beginning-to-end coverage.
So, what was the Fox coverage like?
Fox's coverage featured them showing video of the crowd from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That they got from ABC News.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's part of the thing he comments on, is the fact that, you know, Fox didn't even send a camera crew out.
But I'm sure they berated it a lot.
Like I said, it's very interesting the way he did that, and we're going to play that later when during the...
Oh, good. During the whatever.
No, roundtable.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about how the fact of... God hates Pepsi.
What? Well, I hate Pepsi, but why does God hate it?
Because they're promoting the homosexual agenda.
Oh. Oh, too bad. I don't like Pepsi. I'm a Diet Coke kind of guy.
We'll get him into Diet Pepsi.
I've been a Coke sucker for many, many years.
Well, he got the second part of that right.
I can't. I've had to start drinking that stuff.
Mm-hmm. What, Diet Coke?
Diet Coke.
Well, you could drink Diet Pepsi.
Well, when you go to most fast food places, most of them are Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 50-50. You got Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi.
Yeah. I can handle Diet Pepsi, and I've learned to handle Diet Coke with a splash or two of regular Coke in it.
If I give you this line, will you know where it's from?
Maybe.
No Coke, Pepsi.
That was the worst John Belushi I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, I wasn't really trying.
Mm.
Okay. Saturday Night Live.
I didn't see that one.
Mm. It was a series he did.
There's a restaurant named after his skit on that particular skit.
Uh-huh. Oh, really now?
Yeah. Chibuga Chibuga.
I love that restaurant. And you know...
And they only sell Pepsi there.
Yeah.
And you know, there's only one...
No Coke,
in
Pepsi.
The entire city of Houston.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Up on 249 and...
Louetta.
Well, I'll never go there.
One of the best restaurants that I've ever eaten at, for a hamburger anyway.
Wow.
One of the two best ones in Houston that I know of.
What's the other one?
The other one is a little itty-bitty hole in the wall
mm-hmm.
up on my side of town over on Louetta and Hardy.
I'll never go to it.
Called the Track Shack.
I beg your pardon.
That's what
track
I said.
Shack. The Track Shack?
The Track Shack.
Okay.
Because it's right across the street, literally. I mean, you got Hardy Road.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side of Hardy Road... You got the Track Shack right there on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the road is the railroad.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So, but, I mean, Primo Burgers
okay.
over there.
So, where were we?
But Cheeseburgers all over Florida.
Oh. Oh.
Because when I lived down there, I used to eat there all the time.
I never heard of the place.
Basically, it's you order a cheeseburger, and you get your choice, like, five or six types of cheeses.
Uh-huh.
And then... There's like 30 toppings you put on top of that.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And okay. they've got like five different levels of burgers, where the biggest one is their 1 pound burger.
I could eat that.
And it's a contest on the 1 pound burger.
Why?
If you finish it,
they bring out this little hamburger pillow and take a picture.
They bring
to
out this giant hamburger pillow that's about like this, and you get your picture taken and it's put up on their wall of fame.
Oh God, I would never eat. I wouldn't eat. I would never do that.
And I did it twice at the same one in Florida. And Sean, I took him there one time. Little skinny Sean. I took him there, and he did it.
Wow.
So he's got his face up at the one up in spring.
I see.
Actually, I think they've moved it there recently to help with rodent control.
Now, Barnaby's has
yeah, you've got me hooked on that one burger.
What, the Coronado?
Yeah, the burger without a bun.
Yeah, oh God, it's so good.
And I'm surprised watching him eat that. It's a huge burger
patty. It's 1 pound.
It's a 1 pound burger patty, no bun, but they grill it and they put onions and cheese and melt it on top.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I sat there watching him eat it the first time. I'm going, you got to be kidding me.
And I ate the whole thing, didn't I?
And it comes with a whole lot of fries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Anyway.
I almost got sick watching him eating, and every time I go there now, that's basically what I order.
That's because I order it rare.
I don't mind rare.
Oh, okay.
I love rare.
I don't mind them riding in my dinner.
It's back to Pepsi.
Oh. I'm sorry, I forgot which commercial we were doing.
I see.
Here on Commercial Free Radio.
Yes.
No, it's wacky folks over at AFA.
American Family Association.
Yeah. So, they've got their hangs in a bunch. We got that story coming up,
okay.
too. Okay. I'm trying to remember what else I had on there.
Wow.
I actually did research some this week.
I'm glad.
I didn't find much, but, you know, just the usual suspects there for news stories, Tola Road.
Oh, yeah.
The Daily Rotten. Sticky.
I shudder to think.
Well, it's normally a dirty website.
Duh.
Well, it's... No. It's actually called Queer Click.
Queer Click?
Queer Click.
Yeah.
And they have a section on it called Sticky, which is basically where you can promote, you know, if there's an interesting news story or trying to promote one of the other, you know, one of the articles they had on their thing before. So they quite often have some news stories.
Oh.
in there of interest. And, of course, Squirt.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
I only read them for the article.
Sure.
Yeah, right, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So, do we want to go to a little music and then come back and do that?
We're going to do roundtable early?
Yeah, sure.
Because we're not even at halftime yet.
Yeah, we're not. And we still got PSAs at the top of the hour.
We do, don't we?
Yeah. And you know what I found?
What?
I decided to take a look, and I did find the Oath of Enlistment, Oath of Office, and the U.S. Congressional Oath of Office.
Okay.
And they are all basically worded the same. Mm-hmm. Little differences in there, depending on which area you're going into. But basically, it all comes boils down to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
Oh.
That's the beginning of it.
Okay.
And then, of course, they throw in the order, follow the orders of the President of the United States, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, very interesting. I decided to take a look and make sure they were all worded generally the same.
You had forgotten.
Okay, he had to look that up. You know where I got my source for knowing the difference? There's a difference between the oath for the president and the oath for military.
I have no idea.
MASH episode when Klinger wanted to reenlist and Colonel Potter gave him the oath of the presidency rather than the oath of the enlisted personnel.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, brother.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Whew, that's going
television.
Back.
Yeah. My family watched that series so much that it got to the point we would start watching an episode. And this is before, you know, we had the cable boxes that told you what the whole episode's about.
Oh, okay. And then the first one to recognize it.
In my family, not only did we tell you the plot, okay, the major plot, we would tell you what the subplot was.
Because
everyone had two storylines, basically.
Yeah.
You know, there was the major and the minor.
Mm-hmm.
And we could sit there and go, you know, we'd teach her, I'd go, da-da-da-da, and tell you what it is and go, okay, what else is on?
It's like me with X-Files.
Unfortunately, we've gotten past that point.
Well.
Wow.
And I haven't watched X-Files in a couple of years now.
I don't even watch regular TV anymore. I stay up on the high end of the dial and watch, like, True TV and stuff like that.
Oh. Good her.
True.
Well, the other channels, I mean, it's like most of the stuff you've seen 20 million times already.
Yeah. I mean,
true. I don't watch anything that's new because I'm not going to...
Because he's old.
No, it's not that. It's that I'm not going to arrange my life schedule around TV.
That's why they have a DVR.
I watch TV when I feel like it. So,
That's why I stay on the high end of the dial. That's, I watch stuff like True TV and
that's why I see
Discovery
everything in,
Health.
I see
that.
Everything in reruns.
Yeah. Like I said, that's why I watch all that other stuff, because it's like, it doesn't matter what it is, it's not that important,
mm-hmm.
and if I miss 3 or 4 or 5 days of TV, it's not like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I know very little about what, you know, the elections are coming up, local elections are coming up, because I don't watch local television that much.
No, that's right.
You know, I admit that, I don't...
Monday starts...
Early voting.
Early voting, yeah.
And I admit that, I don't...
Yeah. It's like... For local news, I catch most of that when I'm sitting at work.
Because
I'll pop on Yahoo real fast while I'm eating lunch, and I'll go through all the news stories, like what's going around the world, and what's going on locally and stuff like that, and just read stuff like that. And, of course, a lot of the stuff is kind of like, you know, poppycock.
Yeah, it's features rather than news.
That's kind of like, oh, this guy shot this guy on this side of town, or somebody did this over here, or this person got run over there. Like, who cares? Tell me something important.
Yeah. Well, not that that's not important, but it's every day, every day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little news folder in my bookmarks when I'm at home, and first site I pull up is Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
The right-wing news gatherings people.
Mm-hmm.
Who better to tell you what's going on in your own community than your enemy? So I
know that philosophy. I just can't stand to read that crap.
I know. It's funny sometimes. The stuff they overemphasize. That, then Daily Rotten,
mm-hmm.
Then I start going downhill from there. The Houston Chronicle.
Ouch.
Then 2:11 and 13.
I see.
And then, actually, then I follow that up with Tola Road.
Am I the only one who watches Rachel Maddow?
Yes.
I watch her sometimes.
I love her.
I'm more of a Keith Olbermann fan.
Oh, I like him too.
Rachel, to me, is... She's too straight-laced.
Really?
It just, you know... She gets the good interviews.
She pins them down. If she asks a question and they don't answer it, she asks it again.
Yeah, I mean, because I've heard saw her the one time going, okay, for the third time I'm going to ask you.
I saw that interview.
You know, I mean, she interviewed a guy who's charged of some of these astroturfing people. And, you know, she slammed at the beginning and said, look, I'm going to give you a fair chance here. And when she got done, she says, I hope you feel that I gave you a fair opportunity. And I was... fair with you. And he goes, you were. And, you know, I admit that. I mean, I do enjoy her. You know, Keith has more of a comedy sense to his.
Yes, he does.
But he does make a lot, and I do like a lot of sense with that. I mean...
I'd like his worst, and worser.
Yes. And the promotion, the campaign he's running right now of raising money to hold free health care clinics.
Oh.
In... cities where the senator from the state hasn't said, I'm going to support a public option.
Yes.
The first one...
I knew about this.
People have... They've raised like $1 million. And they're going to hold their first one in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I mean, it wasn't him who said it. One time he was out and Lawrence O'Donnell was filling in. He said, you know, if you can help us get resources to... Because the biggest expense is the venue. And so if you can help us get a venue in, say, New Orleans or Little Rock, are you listening, Bill Clinton? You know, to put on this free event, which is similar to what was done here in Houston.
Yeah.
And he actually had Dr. Oz on the one time. He said, you know, we had 2,000 people show up, and we really didn't promote it. Which is strange when you read the LSA back and forth about it going,
oh, yeah.
You know, it would be nice if we had known about this ahead of time. But, you know, they kind of kept it low key, and they still had 2,000 people show up and 700 volunteers for this event.
That's amazing.
And, you know, to try and showcase that this need is out there, that 2 million people went to free clinics last year, and this year they're expecting to see 4 million people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've run into situations. I haven't been to a free clinic. I don't qualify at that level. I'm having to use the community health clinic services, which is like Legacy and other ones like them, Spring Branch Community Health Services. And with them, I was told they work on a sliding scale, but I slid off the scale.
You're kidding.
No. But, you know, an office visit at Spring Branch was $85.
Wow.
But, you know, then when I had lab work done, it was only $25.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
So I looked at it that way because, you know, in the past I've been going to a walk-in clinic, which was $52 for the office visit.
But.
And $100-something to go get
the
lab work done somewhere else.
Yeah.
And... You know, this was all done internally. Went back the next time. It was only, you know, $30 for the follow-up. And they're working on trying to get me some of the meds that I need you know, on a discounted rate there for my diabetes to help get it further under control. And, you know, it's... I kept looking at it, and I'm actually in tears with this stuff. I understand where these people are where the people are coming from on this. And, you know... I'm making decent money, you know. Unlike some of the people who were going to these clinics, I drove up in my own car, you know.
Don't let that be a determinant factor.
But, you know, I'm talking about people who really...
Have you ever been to the unemployment office? Food stamp office?
Yes.
All the Cadillacs driving up to the food stamp office?
I've never seen that much.
Oh,
I went there once when I was unemployed. But, you know, it's one of those things, and I... The last time I was there, I had a little bit of a money crunch because of I was late with an electric bill, and they asked for a huge deposit, and it zapped me for a while. I had to borrow, and was fully trying to cut back, And it was one of those things of, you know, I understand what some of these people have to go through. And, you know, it's selfish to even think that, you know, I did it for a couple of days of, you know, hot dogs for dinner or eggs for dinner because it was cheap. But that's, I was raised that way, being frugal.
But think if you had to do that every day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, and going and trying to tell these people, say, you know, and when they told me that, you know, I had to pay for it, I said, I understand. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'm not here for a handout. I know there's people a lot worse off than me who really need this help. And I'm just glad that you're able to see me with the specialty care that I might need. And for me, that was the important part.
Yeah.
Was getting that. And, you know, I talked about it before. I get so frustrated hearing the Republicans out where, the right wingers out where I'm at, you know, talking about, you know, healthcare this and healthcare that. And it makes me want to scream sometimes at these people. And it's like, you know, there are.
Just write off the Republicans because they don't want health care reform. So just forget them.
That's one. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm glad to see that finally, allegedly, Nancy found her ovaries and said, there's going to be a public option in there. And, you know, I don't know what Harry Reid has said, if he found a testicle or two. I love that Mark Grayson from Florida.
Yeah.
Who's the one who said, you know, the Republican health care plan is don't get sick, and if you get sick, die quickly.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
And then, you know, the next week he came back and he apologized to the dead. Because the Republicans wanted him to apologize. So I'll apologize. I'll apologize to the dead because we're not doing anything.
That's right.
And the following week he came back and he said, when was Olympia Snow elected president? Why are we catering to her?
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, called her up by name going, you know, and basically she said, yeah, I'm voting for this now to move it along. But they didn't need her vote to move it along. She said, I may not vote for it later on. It's like, who cares?
That's right.
You know, you tell these people, you know, I'm sorry, you need 60 to invoke cloture. You tell all the Democrats saying, hey, don't care if you're for it, against what we're putting out there. Just invoke cloture. Let's put this to a vote.
That's right.
If you want to vote against it later, fine. Let's just get them vote the cloture, vote on the bill, get it moving.
Because
if you vote, because supposedly they've done the research and they cannot find anybody in the history of the Congress who has voted against their own party to invoke cloture.
Right. Right.
So for a Democrat to do this would be historical. And yes, we've had a lot of history made lately, but
They wouldn't be real popular either.
And that's what I'm saying, is you don't expect any support from the Democratic Party. You know, expect Obama and them to come and support anyone who's running against you in the primary. You want to see a true blue dog Democrat? We're going to run a blue dog against you. We'll pull him out of the shelter. We'll slap on some paint, maybe a coat of shellac, and we'll run a blue dog against you.
I think they should kick him out of the party. Yeah, you know, you can run all you want, but not as a Republican, not as a Democrat. Yeah. You get no support from the Democratic Party.
Hey, it works for Lieberman. But yeah, I mean, it's just watching some of this debate and argument. It's, and you know what? If, you know, I got word that we're at my place of employment, we're looking at possibly getting insurance. And even if we do get it, and I'm one of the, you know, I'm taken off of the list of the 14 million uninsured out there, I hope to God I still feel this way afterwards. I hope I don't that I've learned the lesson from what I've seen of these past years living without any insurance.
It's not fun.
No.
It is not fun.
And, I hope that I carry that part with it, because I know it's not going to last. And there'll be another time when I'm going to need that, or I'm going to need more. So it's one of those things that's interesting debate with all of that.
Okay, well, we didn't go to music.
I'm trying to kill time till we get to the top of the hour.
Oh, stop it. You're not killing time. We're talking
just
about germane topics.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you know, we look at, we all, I mean, this, you know, let's face it, this station, this network, you know what side we're going to come on.
Yeah.
And this is one of the times where, it sounds like I drank the Kool-Aid. There's a lot of topics that we air on this show, on this station, on this show,
yeah,
that I don't agree with. I've gotten up on a soapbox like once or twice.
You know, I know.
I've got someone who's slapped me on an email because they didn't like the joke I made commenting about something. I mean, it was a pot shot at two other things.
Well, the thing of it is, you do something public like this.
Yeah.
For any length of time, you're going to say something that's going to piss off somebody.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm sure every week I piss off somebody from
Probably.
Something I
They're
said.
They're usually on the staff here.
Oh. Well, it comes down to the old saying, though. I mean, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time.
That's right. You know, and I've had people say, oh, I used to listen to that show, but you said something about such and such that I didn't agree with, so I haven't heard it in a while.
I'm
like, what? You know, you've listened to this show for years. You've gotten so much information out of it. It's helped you come out of the closet. And then I say something you don't like, and that's it? What?
I mean, let's see. Your big thing was the John Bice letter.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that letter, and you didn't want to do that.
But then we turned around and...
I caught flack from that. I caught real flack from that.
Yeah, what's some of the... I mean, I've done a lot of stuff I know you didn't approve of. I've played Fred Phelps videos on the air here.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've cringed at that once or twice.
And at least 50% of the music I play you can't stand.
Oh, God. That's why I assumed the Spanish version of I Will Survive was you.
Is it time for our PSAs?
Yes, it is.
Shall I rattle off the stuff now or wait till afterwards?
Try it again. Let's see if you can do it in one breath this time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it in one breath. I've lost my lung capacity. You are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
You're good.
He did it in one shot that time. Hey, Rick, here we go. Your PSAs.
Oxygen, please!
Your PSAs.
Lamar High School Alumni Association present Lamar alumni and 9-time Tony winner Tommy Toon in Steps in Time, a Broadway biography in song and dance, featuring the Manhattan Rhythm Kings at the grand opening of the Ned S. Holmes Performance Hall. This event will take place October 21st, 2009. There are two events, a 3 p.m. rehearsal and a 7:30 p.m. performance. Lamar High School is located at 3325 Westheimer in Houston, Texas. For ticket information, go to the Lamar High School Alumni Association website, www.lamarhsalumni.com. Again, that is www.lamarhsalumni.com. KPFT Houston. The Institute for Spirituality and Health in the Texas Medical Center presents the 18th Annual Psychotherapy and Faith Conference. This year's title is How the West Was Won, the East-West Convergence of Psychotherapy and Faith. Come learn from the faculty of 5 nationally known presenters how the ancients of the East influenced the master therapists of the West, how they helped shape modern therapeutics, and how these ideas have become part of the American mainstream. This event will take place November 6, 2009, starting at 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5500 Main Street. To register or for more information, go to ish-tmc.org. KPFT, Houston.
this town. I ask you if you're mine. Do you speak the truth? You know, say it's not time. No, it's not my time. You stay in my mind's eye. Secrets you can't see. This is not me, this is not like me.
Pugilist, don't know when he's been beat. Honey, if you still love me, tell me just one thing. Why do women play them games over a 3-minute thing? Today I came home early. The front door was ajar. Outside there was a Cadillac. Didn't recognize the car. Across the living room, I tiptoed down the hall, stopped outside the bedroom, and I screamed it through the wall. Honey, if you still love me, tell me just one thing. Why do women play them games over a 3-minute thing? I'm glad you found me out. I thought you'd never ask. One monkey don't stop no show, so you can kiss my ass, man. I'll try to show you new tricks, try to show you ways to keep a woman happy and make it last for days. Honey, I still love you, but I know just one thing. It was you who made me play them games. You just a 3-minute thing. Well, it was you who made me play them games. You just a 3-minute thing.
Things are not so easy to do. if I'm, I question them all the time. Am I in love with you? Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do, but when I hear a love song, I think of you. I climb the mountains of New Mexico, high up where the juniper and pinyon grow. I feel the earth beneath my feet, in a place where body and spirit meet. I wish the other things I long to understand would present themselves as plainly in my hand. Am I in love with you? Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do, but when I hear a love song, I think of you. One man's truth is another man's lie. One woman's happiness could make another cry. The greatest wisdom can't be found on any shelf, 'cause you would not believe it till you've lived it for yourself. I touch you heart to heart and skin to skin. I taste your passion and I dare to drink you in. I hear the strength within your voice, and I'm unafraid to make this choice. No other man has ever come this close to answering the question I ask. Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do, but when I hear a love song, I think of you. No money for the picture show.
when my spirit's gone. So grab the keys and come on, let's go. Tonight we are driving. Oh, oh, driving. We're driving. Oh, oh, driving. We're driving. Oh, oh, driving. Yeah. We're driving. Oh, oh, driving. We are driving.
Some music,
didn't we? Though that's a nice good.
It does, yeah. Also, you put a CD in the
and
player.
Actually, it's older stuff that we haven't played in a while.
Yeah. Let's see. Started it all off with Robin Renee for today.
Let me do this.
And then, are you still playing with stuff?
Yes, he is.
We brought in another person, and the headphones aren't working. So
I know.
Take this pair. Give me this.
Okay.
And watch it. Just put them on.
And next, after Robin Renee,
did Nona Hendrix and Billy Verna.
Vera. Yeah.
3 minute thing.
Yeah. That's an amazing CD.
Yeah. Followed that up by Justin Tranter doing Martyrs and Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Martyrs.
Yeah.
Sound like I said mantra.
No, I didn't say mantra.
You stuck it in too far.
Oh, okay.
You gotta pull out a little bit for it to work.
Oh, okay.
One of my favorite guys is this.
Are you still talking about the headphones?
Yes. I hope so.
Okay.
One of my favorite singers, Ron Romanowski.
Oh, yeah.
When I Hear a Love Song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wrapped it all up with True Soul, Tonight We're Driving.
Yeah, that's a local group, actually. They started out with one of the folks there being gay, so I got that, and we played the hell out of it, and then that guy dropped out of the group, and so it's all straight now. But they still make really great music, and they're very popular here at KPFT. I've listened in on other music shows and heard True Soul.
I love the fact how many times during that music set Jimmy goes, "Who are you playing?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He did
because
that like
it's been
two or three
so
times.
It's been so long since I've heard these artists. And you played some selections that I did not have highlighted, you know, so I didn't recognize them right off.
Well, a couple of them you did have highlighted.
Yeah, I know.
But it's fun doing that, cuz I remember years ago when Esoteric Adventures was on, and I subbed in a couple of times during Christmas. And Jimmy came back, and I gave him the playlist, and I go, see, there, I played a 30-minute block of Hanukkah music. He goes, where the hell did you come up with Hanukkah music? I said, it was all on your CDs. It's just those things with the funny titles, and I go, okay, this will work for... You see how weird I am when we just do occasional music?
Mm-hmm.
Esoteric was what, a two-hour show?
Yeah, it was a two-hour
show. A two-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And with me picking the music and going into, you know, a 20 or 30-minute block of music on that stuff, and it was, I always had weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, when it came time for Christmas there, it was like Christmas songs with animals.
Oh, yeah. It fit Esoteric Adventures. It was a weird show anyway.
Special.
I even brought vinyl from my parents' vinyl record collection. Yeah. So I played, like, Snoopy's Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Chris, the Christmas tree. I played the Partridge Family Christmas album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, some of the weird stuff I just, you know, pulled out of their collection.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of weird stuff. And Jim was, Jim Vaughn, who was the producer of that show, I was just the smart aleck. Guest host every week, but he didn't really like to talk on air, so he'd play a whole hour of music and then open up the mics, announce what it was, and then go for another hour.
And Jim and Carper would be sitting there going, oh yes, that was good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
like kind of like what he does here.
Yeah, when you guys are doing the news items. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Where I learned how to do that. John is with us.
Hi, what's going on?
Hi.
Oh, we use a shortened version of your name.
Yeah, the only time I hear that name is when I talk to my brother.
Oh.
I'm used to being called that, but it's been years.
What?
Hmm?
Oh, yeah. He was one. Yes.
Thanks for playing along. We have the home version of the game for
you.
What's your booby prize?
So how do you like to be called?
No.
Not booby size, booby prize.
Yes.
Oh.
Booby prize.
Is it Jonathan?
Jonathan.
Okay.
Is what I normally go by.
Okay.
So.
Do you find him online under the name of...
Never mind.
I know. It's kind of like a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine from high school.
Yeah.
You remember John?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
Him and...
Does he put out?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Greedy bastard.
But him and my two and myself and my brother and his partner all went out to eat for their dinner before the show.
That must have been fun.
And my brother's name is John.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is John. So I'm like, all right, screw this. You're John and you're Jonathan. So I could keep them both straight.
So to speak.
In stereo, nonetheless.
1, 2, 3, jinx.
So, I mean, it got quite confusing there for a while.
Yeah.
God, I've been around here too long if I'm starting to...
You're starting to think like Jimmy.
Oh, Lord.
Just saying, I'll be at the ABS all day.
If you hear a profanity, dump three times.
Because first you say it, then you do it.
Oh, okay. Back to Jonathan.
Sorry, tangent time.
Yeah, talking about a dump.
Yeah.
Ew.
What a dump.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You attended Camp Camp?
Yes, I did. Well, I didn't attend. I worked for Camp Camp.
What is Camp Camp?
Camp Camp is the America's premier GLBT summer camp for adults.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's usually held around the end of August.
Uh-huh.
It's held in southeastern Maine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that Camp Camp.
Yes, that one.
Oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Still trying to scrub it all off.
That's kind of high class.
Yeah. Well, it's not too high class, but... Mm-hmm. It is a summer camp. I mean, we are...
What do you mean by summer camp for...
Summer camp for adults.
Adults.
If you think about whenever you were younger and your kids, your parents would send you away because they didn't want to deal with you for the summer, they'd send you to a camp. And...
No, that never happened to me, but go ahead.
They just tossed your ass out completely.
Yeah, well, just go out in the backyard.
Yeah. Play with some dirt.
Yeah.
Well, Sam... Sorry. I'm getting all tongue-tied.
Mm. Camp Camp.
Camp Camp is just a regular summer camp to where you do different little activities. Like, there's a ropes course. You can also make pottery, stained glass, jewelry.
Oh.
Yeah.
I bet you the leatherworks classes were a lot different at Camp Camp than you had in your, when you went to your camp at the YMCA.
Actually, there are no. There is no leatherworks. We should ask
instead of making here. Instead of making the wallet, you make a harness.
Okay. Mikey's harness here. Yes.
Hey, and the hair color of the week is platinum.
Mm.
Platinum is the
silver.
That was silver?
Sorry.
Silver,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's I like that. Pottery, stained glass.
Stained glass, pottery, I mean...
That's so queer.
Very. We actually even added a new one this year.
Yeah?
Year past. And it's circus arts.
Ooh.
You can learn how to juggle, walk on stilts.
No kidding!
Like that. Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Neato. How many people go to this thing?
This year we had around 215 campers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 215 camp and staff.
Mm-hmm.
There was about 150 staff.
Wow. Wow. It's kind of pricey to go there.
It is a little pricey, but I mean, what most people do, since a lot of people do staff, uh-huh, is like, if you work for part of it, then it takes off your tuition.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's why you did this.
Well, I'm...
Or did you just always want to see what it was like?
Well, actually, I got introduced to it through one of my ex-bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about it because they needed more kitchen staff. I'm one of the chefs that goes.
Ah.
Yeah.
And you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cook, all that jazz.
Cook for 100 people, 200 people, 250 mm-hmm. people. Ooh.
Yeah, around 250.
That's a lot of scrambled eggs.
Yes.
Honey, this is a gay event. It's quiche. Quiche and frittata. There is no scrambled eggs.
Sorry.
We have scrambled eggs. We have bacon and sausage in the morning,
mm-hmm,
as well as oatmeal.
Oh.
Sure, oatmeal. Break out the pork.
I beg your pardon? That's before breakfast.
Yeah, some people are still up. At-
Please, Jimmy has breakfast,
then goes to bed. And is
there
swimming and all of that kind of stuff?
It's on a lake. It's on Lake Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's not actually a lake. It's more of a pond. But we call it Lake Stanley.
Yeah.
And it's a normal summer camp to where you sleep in cabins on bunks.
No.
You get a bad back after the end of the week. Everything.
That's
like
part
that.
Of it.
Oh, yes. It's part of the whole camp experience.
Yeah, yes.
And it's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, our slogan is best time ever, and you will have the best time ever no matter what you do.
Really?
Like, I work over 40 hours a day there. Mm. Well, not 40.
Three hours a day.
Boy, that's a long day.
I work over almost 60 to 70 hours that week, and it's a week long.
Wow.
But I still have the best time ever. I mean, it's my vacation for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. There's no words can really describe the feeling that you get from going here. And you make lifelong friends from people all over the United States and the world.
Yeah.
So.
I get it, though, because I go to the PWA campouts.
Yeah.
And we don't have activities like that,
mm-hmm,
but it's that same camaraderie.
Yes. You do great things. I mean, most of our campers do come from, like, the Boston and New York metropolitan areas.
Sure.
That's where our founder is from our founder, Bill Cole. He's an absolutely amazing man.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because he's traveling across the country.
Yeah.
Mm.
To do this.
Yeah.
Actually.
But it's well known and it's popular.
It's very popular.
Yeah.
Thanks to Facebook.
But yeah, I've read about Camp Camp for years now in the gay press, in Advocate or Out.
Yes.
Or, you know, there's always a little article at least once a year about Camp Camp.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you can check it out at campcamp.com,
because
if you put in .org, then you get a weird little camp for teenagers. But not that
well,
one.
got the attention
you
of
need
at least one
com,
here.
C-O-M.
C-O-M, yeah. Yes.
My mind is still stuck on the fact of, you know, you have a GLBT camp, and one of the first decisions you have to make is top bunk or bottom bunk.
Yes, there are a lot
or
of
or sometimes that decision gets made for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just run out of options.
Yeah.
You have to choose one.
You have to be a top this week, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the lucky ones that I think my lower bunk mate would say, no, you don't get on the top bunk. You're going
to... I see. Yes.
Mm. So if you're versatile, what they do, just hang a hammock in between them and you kind of swing freely?
Swing, so to speak. That's cool, though.
Yeah. And then Camp Camp was established in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and it started out with, I think, maybe 50 people.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it has grown and grown and grown. I mean, our camp director now, I can't remember his last name. He's been going since the very first year.
Oh.
It's been, what?
12.
Thank you. 12 years.
Somehow I can still do math this hour of the day.
I can't. Any hour of the day.
You make the food, you don't write the checks.
Yes. Yes, I make food. What fun.
But no, I mean, it's an interesting concept of adults getting a chance to...
Yes, especially...
childhood.
Yes, and especially a GLBT camp, because everybody there is gay, and you don't have to worry about hiding anything, and mm-hmm. you can be as campy as you want.
Yes, exactly.
When someone yells out, faggot, everybody answers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Hey, Mary. And 50 heads turn.
Yes. Or all 200.
Is it mostly men?
Well, it actually is mostly women.
Mostly
lesbians.
Really?
They go.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that is surprising. That is.
They've got the flannel. They chopped the wood. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
There's usually it's pretty good mix. I mean, it's about, I'd say, 1-to-1
mm-hmm.
for men and women.
Yeah.
And it was... Even though it's a lot of women, you still don't feel like, it's a lesbian camp.
Yeah, no. or there's so much estrogen here.
Yeah.
Is it the lake that has that fishy smell or the camp?
Stop it!
You knew it was coming in there sooner
yes.
or later.
Yes.
I mean, come on
or
now,
just low tide.
They use tide?
Actually, they do.
Like I said, it was a joke my therapist said there one time. She made a comment saying, "Oh, you hear that lesbians call each other fish?" I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "It's so rude." And she said, "It's not right. It doesn't smell like that." I said, "Yeah, but if they called it low tide, it would be really offensive."
Okay. But I'm glad to hear that. Yes. Because a lot of these things get overrun by guys, and mm-hmm. it turns out to be a big sex party.
Yeah. Actually, one thing about camp is that it's not sexually centered.
Mm-hmm.
There is only, I think, three events to where drinking is allowed.
Oh, really?
Yes. No drinking, no drugs.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised at the drug part, but
yeah.
Wow.
And it's not very sexually centered. I mean, you're there to have fun. You're mm-hmm. not there to impress anybody. You're not there to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe place to be, like, away from bar scenes.
Well, that's kind of freeing, too, because mm-hmm. you don't have this pressure of everybody's getting laid but me.
Yeah.
Because nobody's getting laid, so...
I've seen all the Meatballs movies. That goes on. I've read enough nifty stories. There's sex going on.
Well, there's probably a little bit of it, but...
Well, of course. And
yeah.
Of course, we always want you to be safe. There are condoms and dental dams available. Mm. Every hour of the day.
Gotcha.
And
that's good. That's good. Camp, camp. So for you more adventurous, is it just once a year?
It's just once a year.
Mm-hmm.
It happens at the end of August. I believe 2010 is...
He's got it on his calendar because he's going to be going.
Oh, yes.
The end of August.
Mm-hmm. I've been asked to come back.
So. Good. Good.
They love me there.
Aww.
And they can't retie things without me. Yes.
So how many Sasquatch jokes do you get then?
I would love to be able to come back with a stained glass window, you know?
Mm-hmm. Stained glass, jewelry. I had actually made jewelry this year. Last
mm-hmm.
year I wasn't able to since it was my first year.
Oh.
So, and I was so overwhelmed by everything, like, just to be around a sense of euphoria from everyone
mm-hmm.
is amazing.
I guess it's because it's... You're there in one place.
Mm-hmm.
You're all together. It's concentrated. It fosters that sense of euphoria.
Yes, it does.
And camaraderie. It's just a really great feeling.
Mm. You're talking me out of it.
Why?
It's too positive.
You should go to some of the events like this.
I should go to some events, period.
Yeah, well, that, there is that.
I need to
see. But I think we should have more in our community like that.
Actually, with two new campers that were there this year, were actually from Louisiana. From
really?
Lauder and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually getting to talking about maybe doing a Camp South.
Yeah.
So that people from the South, were, it's easier for accessible to them.
Yeah, because coming from Texas, that's a
schlep.
That's a cost to get up there.
Yeah, it's a 5-hour plane ride.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Well, there's always the bus.
Ooh.
Well, it's about a 2-day driving trip.
I was teasing about that. I was looking at a thing with a bus. Some of our former members of the show moved out to Fredericksburg. I looked on this one website.
Oh, yeah.
For a bus, it's a 4-hour drive. And if you take one bus company, it's about a 5-hour trip.
Oh.
If you take this other bus company, it's a 58-hour trip.
58 hours?
Yeah.
How?
There's a layover in Dallas.
For a day? A Dallas? From Fredericksburg to Dallas to Houston?
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
I don't know. The twisted part is the company that takes you on the 58-hour drive.
Yeah.
The one that only takes the 4 hours, they actually use part of that trip. Basically, you get off the bus, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You get off that bus and you change bus companies.
Oh, God.
And it's only a 5-hour trip. But if you stay on that other bus company, you go like San Angelo to Dallas, back down to Houston. I looked at that going, you got to be kidding me.
Well.
That's a bus drive from hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
Be faster to take Amtrak and wait for them to come and rescue after the derailment.
I have always wanted to take Amtrak somewhere.
I've always wanted to take a train ride like that, but, you know, I'm waiting until I go to Europe where it's a little safer.
Yeah, it is safer there. Because train travel is very popular in Europe.
It very much so is, because when I went to Germany, and from the airport to my hotel was a train ride.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even have to go out in the elements, because literally I got on the train inside the airport.
Uh-huh.
And it took me from the airport through the countryside and everything into the city.
Yeah.
And where it deposits you is an underground tunnel area where they got shops and everything.
Yeah.
And I just walked up the sidewalk inside where it was nice and covered and everything, and right on into the hotel.
Mm.
So I didn't step outside until I went to go get on a bus to go see a show that night.
Wow.
Public transportation. I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, it's great in Europe, I'm telling you.
It's fantastic in Europe.
Yeah. Like I said, I remember when...
It's clean.
Yeah.
When I went to San Francisco, what was it, 12 years ago, I guess. You know, and the travel agent here told me, you know, don't worry about getting a car. You can use public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. We were at my hotel there. I walked a half block one way or a block the other way to get a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Took that to up down the street to Milk Plaza. You get on a subway.
Mm-hmm.
Take that in town. Get on the streetcar, cable car, and be out at Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
And my first time on the bus, I started to get off, and the door closed in front of me, and I'm trying to get the bus driver's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, some lady recognized that I was not from there, and she was just, push this bar here, and the door will open. I go, I'm sorry, I come from a place where we don't have public transportation.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco has got 7 different modes of transportation, public transportation. I went and stayed at a hotel, and literally, there's this strip that goes down the middle of the road right there in front of the hotel that every mode of transportation went through there at one point or another.
Wow.
it wasn't even, it, there was less than a 3 minute wait and you had another bus or something coming by.
There's something coming by.
Yeah.
And I just literally walked out the door of the hotel, walked to this middle section and boom, I was on a bus.
And amazing, because San Francisco is a city you want to walk, because I have walked from downtown, taken Market Street to the Castro.
Well, you know,
that's a couple of miles, but how you see that kind
and
of
thing. And
town.
I did a lot of walking there, too.
Because the architecture is amazing.
Well, you know how big San Francisco is, right?
It's tiny.
It's 49 square miles.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's a 7x7 city.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I did, you know, when I went there, I...
And when you consider Houston, is if you made a circle around Houston, it'd be 60 miles.
I know, you could put San Francisco inside Houston about 20 times.
Yeah.
But no, I remember when I did that and I walked down Lombard Street. It's the crookedest street.
Yeah.
Well, and I walked back up instead of just walking the other side of Lombard.
You walked up?
I did worse. You know, at least when you walk down Lombard Street, there's stair steps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went a block over and walked up a street that didn't have...
Oh. What were you thinking?
I don't know. I'm surprised. I almost was... fortunately, I have enough weight that I was able to lean forward enough that I could get up there.
But you don't go down Lombardi Street on a misty day.
No, I'll bet not.
No, I didn't drive. I walked. And I remember that hike back up. It's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I did a lot of walking in there when I went to New York a couple of years ago.
No, you have to walk in New York.
Mm-hmm. And when I told people where I walked, they were looking at me like, you walked all that?
Yeah.
Because I popped up, when I went to New York, I popped up in the Village at Christopher Street Station.
Yeah.
And I walked around there, and then I think it was Christopher Street, I walked down to the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then walked up to the World Trade Center site.
That's a trek.
Yeah, it's a schlep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my reward was the hot dog carts. I was in New York. I was going to get a New York style hot dog.
Mm.
I went full New York. I had a hot dog from the. I picked the hot dog cart based on the number of umbrellas.
Okay.
He had two umbrellas, so I figured he had some money, so it was going to be good food.
Okay.
You know, I had a couple of hot dogs. Had a knish.
Did you ever get a couple of slices?
I didn't have any pizza there.
Wow.
Didn't have a pie.
Well, I was only in New York City for a couple of hours.
Oh, okay.
My event was in White Plains.
Oh, my God.
So
it's like the end of the line.
So I took the train in from White Plains to New York and then had to get back on the last train out to White Plains.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was quite a walk from where I was in White Plains to the train station. I was so tired at the end of that. I took a taxi back home from the train station to the retirement center that I was staying in for the event.
I beg your pardon.
I signed up late to go to this event, and the host hotel was filled.
So they put you in a retirement home?
It was an extended stay kind of hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it was is there was a 12-story tower where it was a convalescence retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And a 4-story building that was the extended stay hotel. This was such an old building. When they handed me the key to my room, they handed me a key.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, so I had to walk down to all the events. Mm-hmm. And it was... So I was teased about that for several days.
I'll bet.
And fortunately, when it got towards the last 3 days, a couple days of the event, one of the chairmen of the event heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I was giving a presentation. This was to get the event here in Houston.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, this guy's... Do we have a room available now that we can get this guy in the hotel here? So I miss on some of the fun activities, like when someone pulled the fire alarm at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh God!
I was 3 blocks away.
Thankfully,
at my
very place. Quiet hotel room.
The twisted part about it is, I would come downstairs and they would have all the old folks out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they were all...
What, they were all on display?
Basically. There was this the 12-story building was across the street from the 4-story building, where I guess they had some of the services for them. So there was a walkway over to there. And there was a lot of the meeting rooms and, you know, activity rooms were on in the 4-story building. So basically you'd come out there and there's all these old folks. Some of them are tied into their wheelchairs so they don't fall out. And you're walking this gauntlet. Basically seeing there, but for the grace of God, go I. And it was a one of those sobering experiences. You know, after a night of enjoying yourself like that, and then coming and walking through this to get to the elevator so you can go downstairs where they had a small continental breakfast set up for you in the lobby where the old folks couldn't get to it. So I only spent a couple of hours in actual New York City.
I see.
And so I got what I could out of that. You know, I didn't have, you know, some of my friends went later on. You know, they hit Carnegie Deli. They hit all the good stuff.
Give me a hot dog off the street.
I went into an Italian deli. The one time I said, well, is there a Jewish deli in White Plains? I go, no. No Jewish deli, no.
They mean White Plains.
See, I do things a little differently when I go on vacation like that. I want the local flavor.
Well, yes, of course.
I mean, some of the guys were like, hey, let's go to Subway. I said, no, there's a deli over here.
Yeah.
You know, I had Subway the one time because it was the only thing open at the time. But, you know, it's like when I went to San Francisco, when I was going to San Francisco, I said, I want to eat at Carl's Jr.
It fascinates me.
Just try something there. I never got to it.
Oh, you're kidding.
I never got to Carl's Jr. I got and sat down and thought back through where all I ate, and go, I didn't even eat any beef while I was there. I just picked different places. Anything I didn't have a hamburger at all anywhere.
Wow!
And it was just it was
well, it's such a seafood place.
Yeah, it is actually.
Well, I don't do seafood.
What the hell did you eat, Mary?
I found a Polish restaurant there. I ate pizza. There was a little cafe.
It was kielbasa to death.
Yeah.
It was only the one night I was there.
I enjoyed the restaurants down on Fisherman's Wharf.
I did go down to Fisherman's Wharf, and I did have very good seafood. I'm one of those people that I only like the extremes of seafood. It's got to be really good stuff.
Or really bad?
Or Captain Long John crap.
Oh, that's not seafood.
I know. But I don't like the intermediate stuff. When I was in White Plains, I went to a place that was called Legal Seafood.
Legal?
Yes. Yeah, if it ain't fresh, it's not legal.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I went with a bunch of friends there. And it's like, okay, I'm not fond of seafood, but I'll go.
Mm.
And so I ordered a crab cake, and I'm used to what's more like a crab croquette.
Oh.
You know, meat and fill, you know, the meat and then
lots of filling. Yeah. And maybe there's some crab in it.
Yeah, and this was a lump of crab meat, basically just fried on one side, and the heat cooked it through.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most delicious thing I ever had.
Crab meat is fabulous.
And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of seafood, but I love that, because it was the good stuff prepared right. And then, you know, that's the thing I do with, you know, when I go out with some of these people, it's like, you know, let's go to McDonald's right now. Let's get the local flavor.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's one thing I always enjoyed, especially like...
Yeah.
Even when I lived in Florida. I lived down there for 7-8 years. I would go down to Key West for like a day or something like that. I wouldn't go to places like McDonald's or anything. No, heck no. I'd find these little places like down in the Gay District where they had all the really nice restaurants and stuff, and I would eat there.
Little mom and pop restaurant.
Well, hell, I've stayed at one. At the time, I was in another triad, and we decided we were going to get a room and stay down there for a couple of days. So we did. And what we did is we got the room in this one hotel, and basically you walk out the front door of the hotel, go down the street, turn the corner, and go down and turn the next corner. There was a restaurant basically on the other side of the hotel.
Yeah.
And that's where we had dinner that night. And we sat out on the patio so that we could see the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And had wonderful food right there.
Yeah.
So it's, I never eat at generic places like McDonald's or stuff like that myself when I go out.
My brothers and I used to. It's been a while since we did it. Now that they've got married, it's more difficult to do. We'd go down to Nuevo Laredo.
Mm-hmm.
And we would eat dinner. It was just an overnight thing, basically. We'd drive down there, check into a hotel. No, I never did that. My brother did.
Yeah.
We go over, do a little sightseeing, have dinner, actually in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, my God, you ate dinner in Mexico?
Yeah.
It was good food. You know, my brother drank beer. I drank Cuba Libres with Bacardi for really cheap price. Have a couple of shots of tequila, and you don't, you know, you walk down the one street and you look for the restaurant that has the crucified goats on it, and that's where we ate.
Lovely.
Well, they're roasted over over charcoal, and they're on a rebar, basically, cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we would eat in there. And people were like, you know, we passed by a Senor Frog's.
No.
Where all the gringos were, you know.
No.
We wanted something a little more authentic. And
just, you know, if you're going to drink water, drink it bottled and make sure the cap is sealed. And
I drank rum and Cokes. My brother drank beer.
There you go.
And go back home, rest for a little bit, and then go to Boys Town.
Yeah. Or whatever, wherever.
Well, there was a gay bar in Boys Town.
No.
Yeah, unfortunately, we never...
You weren't out to him yet.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I went one time, two of the trips there, I went over to the bar, and it was during the week, so it really wasn't...
Oh, pickings were slim, huh?
Yeah, so, you know, I went the one time over and came back, and it was one time that all three of us went, my two younger brothers and I. So we were at this one bar waiting for the monkey show, and...
Tell me about that during a commercial break.
Yeah, and then, so, I left the two of them there, said I'll be right back, and I walked over to where the gay bar was.
Uh-huh.
And nothing was really going on, so I walked back, and only one of my brothers was sitting there.
The other one was occupied?
Yeah.
You could say that.
With the monkey?
No, there was no monkey. The monkey wasn't there. And the reason we were there is because the donkey wasn't there.
Oh, donkey. Okay.
Well, no. No, there was a monkey show and a donkey show. My one brother and I did see the donkeys.
Okay.
But the monkey show was further down.
I gotcha.
No, you don't.
No.
So it's one of those things you come back and where, you know, it's one of the scary things when you lose a brother in Boys Town.
Oh, yeah.
The one time I went with the one brother, because of their election laws, they shut down alcohol consumption during elections. I guess apparently they like to have that concept of people being sober and somewhat intelligent when they cast their vote.
Imagine that.
So they shut down Boys Town while we're there.
Ooh, not good.
And I'm sitting in the bar waiting for my brother to reemerge, and they're telling us, you got to leave. And I'm trying to think if I can say enough Spanish to explain to them that my brother is... elsewhere, and I'm waiting for him, and I don't know that much Spanish, because the Spanish I know scared the hell out of one of the workers.
Oh, you must have mispronounced a word.
No, I didn't. I know exactly what I was saying.
What were you saying?
I was in the bar, and this worker came up to me, and she's rubbing my shoulder, and I go, no interesante, I'm not interested.
Okay.
And she gets around and says, no interesante. And she goes, what, you don't like the punani? And I go, soy maricón. Which is the equivalent of saying I'm a faggot.
Yeah.
And so she goes from behind me to in front of me going, no. I go, sí. Next thing I know, she's tearing out the door.
Why?
I don't know. It was her place. You know?
Weird.
Now, she tore out of there, so I knew enough Spanish to know that much. And if I needed any more, I had the dictionary back. Well, I left the dictionary in the hotel.
Yeah, okay.
I studied a few words before I left.
Okay.
I got to bring that.
Camp. That's how we got onto it.
We went from camp to donkey show.
I see.
And lost to Jonathan.
Yeah.
Man. You know, sometimes we got to sit down and listen to the show and figure out how the hell we got to some of these places.
It'd probably scare the hell out of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would.
From Camp Camp to Donkey Shows in the Nuevo Laredo.
Well, it became a travel log for a while.
That reminds me, you got to watch Bizarre World coming up this week on Travel Channel.
What is that?
It's an offshoot of Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern.
Yeah.
It's on the Travel Channel. It's the bald, chubby guy who goes around and eats all the weird foods in different countries.
Mm.
Well, now he's done one. He's doing one of less food but more of the entertainment and such.
Mm-hmm.
So he did one in like Austria where basically he went out and just he was all painted up in like a devil outfit where all he was really wearing was his boxers. Well, this week he's doing some event in Florida where they are dragging him up.
Oh my God.
Oh goodness.
And you know, there was like three or four drag queens, I think, working up and apply the makeup onto him.
It takes takes that many, huh?
It takes a village. And I understand that completely because I may be doing that next month. But anyway, all of this fun and frivolity is brought to you by KPFT, because you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. It's time now
for your PSAs.
On Sunday, November 8th, we want you to carry a club. After using it, you might feel teed off and you might be wearing plaid. You see, on Sunday, November 8th, KPFT is holding the second annual Hot Air Open, a fundraising golf scramble that will not be televised. Players and those that would like to help sponsor this event can find information and entry forms at hotairopen.org. The Hot Air Open will be held this year at the Southwick Golf Course. It's located off Highway 288 and Broadway in Pearland. Your entry fee includes cart, food, St. Arnold's beer and a chance to see KPFT personalities try to play golf. Spare Change, Cajun Bandstand, and Deadbeat bring you this event, so check it out at www.highairopen.org for more details. And we'll see you on Sunday, November 8th for what's going to be a great time.
Find your center. Picture the shot, Danny. Picture it. Turn off all the sound. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
okay.
that.
Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking. Not talking now.
90.1 KPFT, Houston.
The Institute for Spirituality and Health in the Texas Medical Center presents the 18th Annual Psychotherapy and Faith Conference. This year's title is How the West Was Won, the East-West Convergence of Psychotherapy and Faith. Come learn from the faculty of five nationally known presenters how the ancients of the East influenced the master therapists of the West, how they helped shape modern therapeutics, and how these ideas have become part of the American mainstream. This event will take place November 6, 2009, starting at 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5500 Main Street. To register or for more information, go to ish-tmc.org. KPFT, Houston.
Oh!
I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, and took the other just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. Both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first another day, knowing how way leads on to way. I doubted if I should ever come back. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. That has made all the
thank you. Okay.
Wires were crossed.
So no comment.
Huh?
So what did we hear?
Well,
I know that one was good.
We heard, we started off with the San Francisco's Gay Men's Chorus doing Dancing Queen.
That was actually really good.
And then Stephen Franz with The Road Not Taken. And
Key.
Key doing Don't Walk Away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Key, K-E.
Yeah.
With an accent over the E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So.
Yay.
So what have you got in the news?
Oh.
All right, what? Let's...
Pull it out just.
Gotta pull it out a little bit. You can't drive it all the way in. You gotta just ease it out just a little bit. Keep the end of it still in there, but just pull it out slightly.
Tease it a little bit.
There goes Jimmy going in for it.
There goes our show for the next month.
Okay, try this one.
I was just there. Oh, that's probably it's in too far. You gotta pull the thinner part out.
You might have to go in there and show him how to do it.
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness, that's funny.
Okay, Mike. I'm having technical difficulties.
He's going to wiggle it out just... Not that one. Not the big part. Just the little part.
I didn't know it had two parts.
He's a bottom.
I'll just keep moving it in and out until you hear yet.
No. Maybe I'm just deaf. Goodness. I was talking too... See, you pulled out too far.
I know.
I hate it when that happens.
Soaring the stone, what?
I could just try the other pair.
Yeah, something's screwy with that one.
I tried pulling it in and pushing it in and pulling it out.
Oh my. Get back over here.
Okay, well, I can hear
I'm
now.
I'm coming!
Stop it, it's disgusting, you're getting it, never mind.
Jeez.
So, God hates Pepsi?
What?
Well, we haven't made it that far yet. Right.
I was going to start off with a follow-up on a story we brought last week about Boyzone.
Oh, yes.
Performer Stephen Gately, who was found dead in his room. It's been ruled as natural causes.
Natural causes?
Yeah, at age 33.
Wow.
What's natural at age 33? Yeah,
right? It was fluid in the lungs.
Oh.
So, in other words, he drowned?
Basically. Some controversy surrounding this. There's a...
you think?
Well, no, not necessarily about his death. According to some of the reports, basically they said that he had went out on an eight-hour drinking binge before this, and picked up a stranger, and all of this was part of this. Now, a video has come out showing him entering a bar and leaving a bar looking completely sober.
Oh.
And that's supposed to dispel the myths and the rumors, but according to the timeline where they're saying this was bar number one that he was in.
Oh.
Okay.
He left this bar, went to another bar, and then went to another bar where he and his partner picked up a 25-year-old unemployed Bulgarian man. And according to that man, they went back to the house where they were staying, smoked a cannabis joint, and then things got intimate. And he left the two of them sleeping on the couch. He went into one of the bedrooms, slept, woke up the next midday, and found Stephen dead.
Okay, was it his own fluids in the lungs?
Or was it somebody else's?
It didn't say. It just said fluids. They used the fancy the title of what, I forget how they
asphyxiation.
It could happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, because it really doesn't take a lot to drown.
Right.
We're talking one shot of whatever type of shot. You know, maybe it was a pearl necklace a little too high.
No, they actually used the scientific term of just basically it was a fluid buildup in the lungs. So they're saying because it was the natural causes, then it would have been just the natural his own fluids.
I had a friend...
Well, see, and then there's that. Maybe he just... Maybe it's a shot that went too far north on the body. And, you know...
That would require him to have a cannon.
Not necessarily. I hit myself in the face the other night.
A friend whose 20-month-old son died from something similar of fluid in the lungs. And the boy was perfectly fine, you know, the whole day, but...
Here it is. He died a natural death of acute pulmonary edema, which has nothing to do with any consumption of alcohol or drugs. Mm. Pulmonary edema can be due to either a failure of the heart to remove fluid from the lungs or direct damage to lung tissue. The big controversy is coming from the Daily Mail, a British newspaper.
Tabloid?
Yeah.
Jan Moore, a columnist for the right-leaning British paper Daily Mail, has penned a disgusting homophobic opinion column about the late Boyzone star, Stephen Gately. Moore has come under fire for using the occasion of Gately's death to slam the gay lifestyle and happy ever after myth of civil partnership. Here's her article. Something is terribly wrong with the way this incident has been shaped and spun into nothing more than an unfortunate mishap on a holiday weekend, like the broken teacup in a rented cottage. Considering the way that has been largely reported as if Gately had gently keeled over at the age of 90 in the grounds of a bide-a-wee rest home while hoeing in the sweet pea patch. The sugarcoating of this fatality is so saccharine thick that it obscures whatever bitter truth lies beneath. Healthy and fit 33-year-old men do not just climb into their pajamas and go to sleep on the sofa never to wake again. Whatever the cause of death is, it is not, by any yardstick, a natural one. Let us be absolutely clear about this. All that's been established so far is that Stephen Gately was not murdered. And if I think we're going to be honest, we would have to admit that the circumstances surrounding his death are now more than a little sleazy. After a night of clubbing, Cowles and Gately, the couple, took a young Bulgarian man back to their apartment. It's not disrespectful to assume that a game of canasta with a 25-year-old Jorge Deutschev was not what was on the cards. Cowles and Deutschev went into the bedroom together while Stephen remained alone in the living room. What happened after they parted is only known to the two men still alive. She writes on here later on. Another real sadness about Gately's death is it strikes another blow to the happily ever after myth of civil partnerships. Gay activists are always calling for tolerance and understanding about same-sex relationships, arguing that they're just the same as heterosexual marriages. Not everyone, they say, is like George Michael. Of course, in many cases, this may be true, yet the recent death of Kyle McGee, the former husband of Little Britain star Matt Lucas, and now the dubious events of Gately's last night raised troubling questions about what happened. It's important that the truth comes out about the exact circumstances of this strange and lonely death. As a gay rights champion, I am sure he would want to set an example to any impressionable young men who may want to emulate what they might see as his glamorous routine. For once again, under the caprice of glittering, hedonistic celebrity, the ooze of a very different and more dangerous lifestyle has seeped out for all to see. Basically, she said that he died because he was a gay pop star who went out drinking and hoeing around.
Drinking and canoodling.
You know, but how many straight people have gone out and partied and died and... Oh, wait, we're not throwing that into the mix, are we?
Nope.
No, they're just doing it to the homos.
Let's be clear that they were a happily married couple and that their marriage, it was till death do them part, not until, you know, something younger and hotter
moves in. Not until Bulgarian tore them apart.
And they picked up the guy together. They knew what was going on.
Exactly.
Now, my parents are a heterosexual couple. They've been together now going on 42 years in the next couple of weeks. I don't know how many times we joke about the fact I probably have a couple dozen half-brothers and sisters floating around out there because my father was a traveling salesman. My mother knows this. My father knows, but has made these comments. So, you know, being unfaithful to your marriage vows is not...
Strictly a gay thing,
you know.
No.
It's an everybody thing.
Mm-hmm. He went out, he had a drink at one bar, had a drink at another bar. So what if he went back to his hotel and, you know, smoked a joint and then smoked a Bulgarian?
You know, it happens.
You know, but the fact is this person, Her response to this now is that what is clearly a heavily orchestrated internet campaign, I think, is mischievous to the extreme, and to suggest that my article has homophobic and bigoted undertones. No, ma'am, it does not have homophobic and bigoted undertones. They're overtones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're over nothing. They're just there. They're blatant.
Yeah, it's egregious almost.
And so there have been complaints made to the press police, basically, over there, who look into these sorts of complaints. There's been 1,000 complaints made regarding her hate speech. And they say most likely nothing's going to happen about that unless the family actually files a complaint on that. So we'll keep an eye out on that. So I think we'll take that into other gay marriage news.
Really?
Here in the States, but the article I'm getting off of the UK website. Anti-gay groups asked to prove how gay marriage threatens traditional unions. A judge presiding over the legal challenge to California's gay marriage ban has asked anti-gay groups to prove how it affects heterosexual marriage. Gay marriage was legalized in California in 2008, was banned several months later by a voter initiative, Prop 8. Two unmarried couples have launched a lawsuit over the ban, calling it unconstitutional. Anti-gay group Protect Marriage, which led the support for Prop 8, asked U.S. District Chief Judge Vaughn Walker to throw the case out of court, but Walker has refused, meaning the case will go to trial in January. Lawyer for Protect Marriage, Charles Cooper, argued that the ban was necessary to foster, quote, naturally procreative relationships, unquote. But Walker said, quote, what is the harm to the procreation purpose you outlined of allowing same-sex couples to get married? In a bizarre scene, Cooper was forced to admit he didn't know.
Ooh.
Walker referred to a recent wedding that he presided over, that of a woman in her 80s and a man in his 90s, who he said did not expect to procreate. Cooper later cited a study from the Netherlands which found that straight couples were turning towards civil partnerships rather than traditional marriage. When Walker asked whether this adverse effects have been found in children, Cooper again was forced to admit he did not know. January's trial will determine whether gays should be provided with constitutional protections in the same way that racial minorities, and whether the ban would protect marriage or compromise the act of hate, or comprise an act of hate. Gay rights activists hope it will reach the Supreme Court.
Okay, I have a question about something that's related, similar-ish. Okay, I had recently heard about a couple who, I think it was in Texas, they filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And...
A couple was legal. A gay male couple was married legally it was either Vermont or Massachusetts.
Yeah.
They are Dallas residents and have decided they wish to dissolve the marriage. They went the traditional route of going to a court to argue, you know, to dissolve the marriage.
Yeah.
And the state is arguing that there's no jurisdiction because the state of Texas does not recognize marriage. And the judge in the case has said, no, they've got a legal marriage. We're supposed to recognize it. We're going to carry through. And the state of Texas is appealing that to higher courts.
Okay. I wasn't sure what had gone on yet.
Yeah, as far as right now, it's still at the appeals level where the Attorney General and Governor Goodhair are filing appeals on behalf of the state, saying that this is, you know, we can't argue gay divorce because we don't recognize gay marriage. So that's going to work. That may be a end around,
yeah,
to getting at least gay marriage recognized. Because basically, if they recognize the divorce of this couple, then they're recognizing the marriage from out of state, and that's, you know,
it opens up the possibility in the not-too-distant future of allowing gay marriage.
Yeah. That starts the slippery slope and all that other...
Mm-hmm. I like slippery things.
Of course you do, Mikey.
Was that meant to be a news flash?
No, just a reminder.
This is news? Anyway.
I got something slippery.
Okay,
I guess...
thrown off the air last time, I remember.
I guess that goes into this here. private men's social club in Washington, D.C. has recently closed due to a member of the club falling to his death. A man was found discovered in the stairwell leading to the basement. The victim was of a blunt impact injury to the head. Police believe the man tumbled down the stairs. The organizers of the club told the Washington Blade that the man likely fell on a cement floor. And that. The men's injury was sustained during the regular activities of the club, which include nightly gay sex events called men's parties, as well as meetings of the jack-off enthusiasts of Washington and Baltimore. The incident has drawn public scrutiny over the public meetings as well as defense.
Private meetings.
Did I say what? Private meetings?
You said public meetings.
I'm sorry, over the private meetings. As well as a defense.
Anyway.
Following the death, the club's organizer told police that establishment provides a, quote, safe place for gay men to have consensual sex. But how does a club mean to provide a safe place end up hosting a member's death? And by working off a creative definition of safe. Men's party safety doesn't mean ensuring the apartment's stairs, surfaces, and exposed metal pipes provide a secure sexual landscape for party attendees. It doesn't even mean encouraging members to engage in protected sex. Safe means encouraging anonymous sex for a group of gay men sporting wedding rings, sensitive careers, or shame. For a men's social club, the regularly scheduled activities include little socializing. There are little to none in the terms of conversation, says one visitor to the club, who says he's attended men's parties over a dozen times in the past 6 years. Everything is kept strictly anonymous. No one asks for phone numbers. No one really leaves with someone else. People come here, do their business, and leave. Now, unfortunately for men's parties, the police and city officials operate on a more traditional definition of safety. The man's death marks the second major incident in the club to draw scrutiny. In 2005, a candle ignited a mattress in the building's upper room, causing $5,000 in damage and bringing fire officials inside the club.
Nifty.
The emergency response revealed the establishment with exit signs, a reception desk, a row of gym lockers, signs stating the hours the place weren't open, but no certificate of occupancy or a business license.
Good job.
So it's basically a men's sex club. Probably closer to what we had in here of the meat rack than of the traditional bathhouses. And this is a story that was put into the Washington City paper, which I think is the equivalent of the Houston Press.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
In Washington, D.C. So it was an interesting topic. Oh.
Huh?
They show an advertisement from the Washington Blade for one of their parties.
So it was members only?
Yeah.
Kind of like the meat rack?
Yeah.
As long as you had a member, you were a member.
For years, the club thrived under a thin cover, organized snacking. In an interview with the NBC affiliate, a self-identified volunteer described activities at the club. We have videos, we have sodas, we have snacks.
Yeah, they got snacks all right.
They don't take money per se, but they take donations for chips,
cocktail
dips,
and chew steaks, anyway.
And soda, and leave it at that. the spirit included more than light snacking. No one pays $12 to eat stale pretzels and off-label lemon lime soda. These snacks are placed in large communal bowls and grabbed by hands that have been up others' asses. Many are...
Sounds like a party at my house.
Yeah, it does.
Which one of the parties I've been to?
It's a party at my house.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
So I just found this as an interesting little...
What the?
I'm sure there was lots of salami to go around.
Yeah, I know. Somebody left a note on... several years ago, a flyer appeared in the neighborhood. If you had sex with Skip at the men's party, you need to go get tested. And you know, one thing I can say is this. We've got a one line in here that, you know, we always like to say, sometimes the material writes itself.
Yep.
David Butler, who is one of the members of this organization, they tried to get in touch with him at his Foggy Bottom residence.
Ouch. Wow.
That's a neighborhood.
Okay.
Alrighty David then.
Butler.
Foggy Bottom.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
So, let's go to last week. We talked about the National Equality March that happened last Sunday, and we were talking about... after seeing the righteous indignation that Fox News showed on their coverage, you know, other networks' coverage of the Teabagger Party on September the 12th. I was wondering what Fox News was going to do come this event. And fortunately, I didn't have to do much research. We're going to go to special correspondent John Stewart here to give us the details on that. And let's do that now. Push that button. I got the cue. Hopefully, this is going to work right. This is from, I guess, what, Monday's or Tuesday's Daily Show. Video's loading. Come on, John. Load for me. Load!
We want your load.
Here we go.
Last Saturday, President Obama promised, as he does every month for about a year and a half to 2 years now, that he would end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But this pronouncement was significant in that it came the night before tens of thousands of gay rights activists.
It's buffering right now. The segment is called Queer and Loathing in D.C. And at the bottom there says Gay Rights March.
Marched on Washington to protest the president's lack of action to bring national attention to their struggle for equal rights and, from the looks of the flags, to taunt leprechauns. The gold must be under this rainbow. No, not this one. Why are you doing this to me? So, Ted, that was the worst leprechaun impression. Tens of thousands of protesters marching on Washington. I imagine that is going to cause immediate firestorm. Well, CNN gave it some coverage there, although they didn't send any reporters to the scene. MSNBC did have a reporter on scene to do a couple of interviews before the march, but then they had to cut away, and this is true to their regularly scheduled programming, A Deadly Affair, Honeymoon from Hell. Honeymoon from Hell, be careful what you wish for, gay marriage marchers. Overall, not a whole lot of coverage. And no one was more upset about the lack of coverage of the march than the People's Network, Fox News.
From mainstream media accounts, you might not know that a sea of Americans marched on Washington this weekend.
When at least 75,000 Americans gathered to protest something, you'd think it was news.
How do you, by and large, miss a gigantic rally?
Why is the media ignoring half of America?
Gretchen. I don't think half of America is gay, but I guess if you count friends and family of gay people, people who favor rights for gays, I guess it is half or maybe even more than... I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, they're referring to the Tea Party marches? I see. Interesting, the gay rights march was roughly the same size as the Tea Party protest. How did Fox, by and large, miss a gigantic rally like that? You'd think 75,000 Americans gathering to protest something would be news. I mean, it had everything Fox loves. Ordinary people demanding their freedoms, homemade signs, flags, men in uniform.
Don't tell us.
We love our country, even when our country refuses to acknowledge our love. But we continue to defend it, and we continue to protect it, because love is worth it.
That's Lieutenant Dan Choi.
I love a theatrical costume as much as the next guy. It's a little disrespectful to those that really served in the... I'm sorry? Iraq War veteran, West Point graduate, Arab linguist. Discharged probably for sucking at it, being gay. Oh, really? All right. Well, you don't have to yell. You know, you're right in my ear, and I know you're angry. You know, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this later. I'll see you when I get home. No, it's behind the mayonnaise in the fridge. I don't... No, you take your finger out of your ear. No. Fox have had the same kind of fun with this gay rights march that they had with the tea parties?
People are fired up. They're upset with the government. If I got that right, you guys got something to say to Glenn Beck?
Okay. I guess their message to Glenn Beck would probably have been a little different from the gay rights march. Probably either tell him to go f*** himself or who cuts your hair and why are they so angry at you? All right. So how did Fox News cover this movement?
You are looking at a live picture there provided by ABC News.
You didn't even send your own camera crew? You have a Washington bureau. Tell them to go to the window and point the camera down. Gay people aren't vampires. They show up on camera. So Fox wouldn't cover tens of thousands of protesters at the gay rights march. In case you're curious, take a guess how many Tea Party protesters need to show up to prompt Fox to get out the satellite truck and an on-air personality.
The school that attracted national attention for teaching students a song in praise of President Obama is the site of a protest today.
I'm going to have Rob kind of show you where this protest took place, just to give you a point of reference.
It shows an empty field and sidewalk.
Well, if you guessed one, you're way over. Although, to be fair, this was the day after the gay rights march. So, to recap, not worthy of live coverage.
A point of
worthy.
Reference.
Unworthy!
Give you a
worthy.
Point of
the final tally between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the day of the gay rights march, Fox gave it 3 minutes and 42 seconds of airtime. Whereas the following day's anti-New Jersey children Obama song protest, represented here by an empty sidewalk, 8 minutes and 16 seconds. What does it mean? Don't ask, because they're not going to tell you.
Oh, my God.
Let's find out what people think.
That was hilarious.
Thank you, John Stewart, for doing that. You can go to Comedy Central's website and see that again, and also the second segment they had on that, where the Daily Show actually sent a reporter, quote-unquote, to the rally. They sent John Oliver to discover the homosexual agenda. And so he went through interviewing several people on that.
I've been wondering where that went to.
What?
The agenda.
Yeah, I mean,
we have an agenda?
I was about to say, can someone tell me what our agenda is? Because I'm a little lost.
Yeah, me too.
I'm still waiting for my toaster oven.
I know.
You got a toaster oven?
I have at least 10 under my belt.
I love toaster ovens.
You had a toaster oven?
You're supposed to get a toaster oven.
I just got a toaster.
Yeah, for every 5, you get a toaster oven. 5?
I thought it was just 1-to-1.
Oh. I've been working too hard.
Yeah. You've been working it too hard.
What about toaster ovens? Because I should have, like, 10
I got a tea kettle,
ovens.
Too. I got a tea kettle and a toaster. I don't know about you guys.
Can I trade him back in for points towards something bigger, like a car?
See, the funny thing is this. You can tell how many people here are before Ellen and how many are after Ellen.
Yep.
When we make the toaster oven joke.
Mm-hmm.
I want to trade him in for points.
You think it's green stamps?
A car.
Yeah.
Okay, I just showed my age again. Like I said,
we do that every week, though.
I thought that was an interesting way of giving the heads up on what happened with the teabagger march out there.
You know, the funny thing is that Glenn Beck was supposed to show up, and he just, like, didn't even show up for that.
Well, yeah, For his
teabaggers.
Yeah, that he didn't, you know, I didn't create the idea. No, I just wrote up the concept of calling it 9 principles and 12 values and that. But let's see. God hates Diet Pepsi.
Oh.
Do tell.
A group that advocates, quote, traditional family values, unquote, claims it has the signatures of 500,000 people have pledged to boycott Pepsi over what it says is the company's activities for promoting gay rights. The American Family Association, which boasts 2.5 million online supporters, asked PepsiCo to be neutral in the culture war and not support the homosexual agenda.
They found the agenda again?
I know. I'm waiting for my copy.
Jeez.
In a press release on Tuesday, PepsiCo refused. The company continues to give financial support to homosexual organizations. The American Family Association launched a boycott campaign in January over PepsiCo's continued support of same-sex marriage and homosexual activity.
Advocacy.
The group said it's received a condescending letter from Pepsi that refuses to address Pepsi's support of the homosexual agenda.
Well, again with the agenda. I want my copy. Where do I lodge my complaint?
I want my copy, too.
We're going to have to Google that.
You know what? I'll go home and I'll write up the homosexual agenda.
I'm lodging a complaint.
I always wanted to create like a bunch of planners they call it the homosexual agenda. You know, print pink papers, you know, having one like a leather cover on it with studs on it, or you know, a denim cover with a white T-shirt top on it.
That would
know.
Be awesome.
And a big rainbow flag.
Yeah, something like that. The rainbow agenda. Here's your day planner. You know,
this will happen by next week.
Oh yes.
In particular, the AFA decried PepsiCo's donation to groups that funded the effort against California's Prop 8. The AFA said PepsiCo gave $500,000 to the Human Rights Campaign, which had worked to defeat Prop 8. The proposition barred same-sex marriage in the state and passed by a narrow margin last November was supported by numerous conservative groups as well as the Mormon Church. There's the crux of why they donated that money. Mormons can't drink caffeine.
Well, they can drink Pepsi.
No, it's caffeinated.
They can drink Pepsi. I know.
Mormons can't take caffeine.
Period. It's in their dietary.
Pepsi is owned by the Mormons.
But
that doesn't mean they can drink it.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.
Removed its Pepsi vending machines and replaced them with Coke. We fight this battle one skirmish at a time, said Terry Kemple, the Bell Shoals member, who organized the vending machine change in an interview with the Brandon News and Tribune. Our forefathers came here for religious liberty, not sexual liberty.
It's all one of the same. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, the only buckles they didn't unbuckle was on their hats. But the church has switched from Pepsi to Coke, which other Florida churches joined, may have been a strategic mistake. As Bridget LeVictoriere reported on Les Get Real blog, Coca-Cola has consistently scored higher on the Human Rights Campaign list of LGBT-friendly businesses. The AFA is furious with PepsiCo's over-diversity training, which is not quite as good as Coca-Cola's, in their workplace support of individuals. It's not the same level as Coca-Cola. Earlier in the year, the AFA slammed Pepsi and the Fox animated comedy Family Guy for condoning bestiality, gay orgies, and babies eating sperm.
I remember that episode.
If you watch Family Guy and you're only offended by bestiality, gay orgies, and sperm-eating babies, you're not watching enough.
No, you're not, no, obviously.
Right? The group was offended by an episode where the main character, Peter Griffin, was turned gay after taking an experimental shot of the gay gene.
I remember that.
Yes! I love that episode.
Evidently, the group was upset that the show portrayed homosexuality as something that is not a choice. But no, it is a choice. Pepsi. Pepsi and Fox Networks joined hands to bring a perverted and sickening episode of TV's Family Guy into the homes of millions of Americans. Interestingly, there's no mention of the word Pepsi anywhere in the show. Frederick Reinhart wrote at TheExaminer.com, I wonder if Pepsi just happened to be one of the 24 other advertisers when the show aired.
Well, you know, Family Guy can hold on to their sponsors a lot better than Glenn Beck can, apparently.
Okay, the twisted part is at the bottom of, let's see, in this article, which is from a blog called The Raw Story, in the middle of it is an ad for the Interactive Mail's Big Gay Kiss Contest, and at the bottom is an advertisement for the world-famous Billy Goat Tavern and Grill,
lower level.
Once again, sometimes it writes itself.
Yes.
That means no.
That was a bad joke.
All right. And now for our international story.
Oh, yay. Boy.
For those of you who still call Australia home, a man posed as a taxi driver and lured as many as 100 drunk young men into his car before filming his sexual assaults on him, the court's been told. Once again, in material writing itself, Kok Fu Lim of the Perth suburb of Tuart Hill was one of Western Australia's worst sexual offenders, prosecutors told the district court in Perth on Friday. Lim, who was found guilty of 15 counts of sexual penetration without consent, 11 counts of indecent assault, and one count of unlawful wounding after a trial ended in August, is to be sentenced next month. Before the trial, he pled guilty to 16 charges of an unlawful and indecent assault after it was revealed those attacks had been captured on video. The court was told that between March 2003 and August 2007, Lim posed as an off-duty taxi driver and offered at least 22 drunk men lifts from popular Perth night stops. He would wait until the men passed out before filming them naked, fondling them, and performing sex acts on them. Most of the men would wake up outside their homes, dazed, with no recollection of giving Lim their address or being assaulted. Some suggested they had been drugged, but claims could not be proved because of lack of medical evidence. Lim's crimes were only discovered in 2007 when he repeatedly stabbed a man he had picked up who had questioned whether he was a cab driver. Police uncovered videotapes Lim had thrown into a neighbor's yard, a diary that chronicled the assaults, and records of his victims' names and addresses.
Oh my goodness.
Whatever happened to just taking their underwear as a souvenir? Prosecutor Janelle Scutt said in sentencing submissions, Lim was a dangerous, prolific, and persistent offender. Lim at Wellesby, Western Australia's worst sexual offender with a number of victims and its regularity. By Lim's admission, there could be 100 victims during the offending period. More than 60 victims could not be contacted by police. Many of the victims were unaware of the crimes committed against them until contacted by police and shown photos or videos of the offenses. Do you remember getting that cab ride home?
We do.
Do you remember the tip you gave him? No? Let's go to the videotape. Lim has dehumanized, humiliated, and degraded his victims, Ms. Scott said. Not until they found out about it.
Oh my God.
A roofie's just a roofie.
A roofie colada.
He only pled guilty to charges captured on film, and it was difficult to detect any genuine remorse, except for the fact his tapes were discovered, which led to his downfall. Had he not made them, he would not have been detected. Lim's lawyer, David McKenzie, said his client's offending was not at the highest end of the scale because he was not in a position of trust with his victims and there was no violence.
Did you say Kim?
Lim. I made a mistake.
Oh, so it's not...
It's Cock Lim.
Cock Lim, not Cock Fu Kim?
Yeah.
Anyway.
He said Lim has been studying film and television at university and has maintained the filming of the sex acts was a consensual and was for artistic purposes. There's no doubt that Mr. Lim finds the male form beautiful. Mr. McKenzie said Lim claimed he was working on a script. Yeah, that's working so well for the guy in the Letterman case. But Ms. Scott said the script was a fantasy featuring a taxi driver confused about his sexuality, searching for the meaning of life. The script is autobiographical, and he's a taxi driver. Judge Troy Sweeney remanded Lim into custody until sentencing on November 20th. Now that I've put the idea in a lot of people's heads, and I'm sorry now that I no longer drive a Ford Crown Vic that I could paint yellow.
You'd be surprised, but they make a new taxi cab in Houston these days, Chris.
I know, right? And they're not all yellow.
I've seen a few Ford Focus taxi cabs.
But an interesting story of coming out of Australia. I think you gotta give the guy some credit there for ingenuity.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, going and picking up drunk guys to... He was providing a service, damn it. They shouldn't have been driving.
Exactly.
They got in the car.
He had to get paid somehow.
The guys got into the car. They said, drive me home. He misinterpreted.
Obviously, there was some kind of language barrier there, huh?
He drove it home and...
And he drove them home.
Yeah.
Well, they got home, but at least they didn't have to pay for... Well, they paid for the cab ride and non-monetarily.
They had to pay it out the ass for it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you get to go that way, yeah.
It could be lived in that manner.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least it good thing it cost an arm and a leg, I guess.
Well, for that last guy, it might have.
I don't know. For some reason, I heard that name and automatically thought of the restaurant that used to be here in Houston called Fu Kim.
Yes, which you occasionally will see on the internet of pictures of that establishment because of their intriguing name. I keep forgetting. I need to take a picture of this one grocery store out by where I live, Hung Dong.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about, right there on 249.
Yeah.
Hung Dong.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah, that's just where I forget the name of it. Then next door to it is a an ophthalmology store, and you know, it's strange, you got these Asian stores and there's an eye doctor next to them. It just,
it's always the strangest little combinations like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, then again, we're talking about this,
especially on the north side of town.
Yeah, we're talking about the same street that a adult bookstore opened, and when they closed down the adult bookstore, a church moved in.
Oh my God!
Oh my! It has the right feel to it. It has God in the building.
And the twisted part
is... Well, maybe it was screamed a few times in that building.
The scream got enough, you invoke it.
And the twisted part is they haven't removed the 24-hour bookstore sign.
My God.
Off the main sign. It's off the... It's not over the door anymore.
Not on the building.
They have a, you know, the banner.
But it's on the side.
Yeah, the channel sign was taken off, and they've had a banner up there. But on the marquee for the shopping complex, it still says 24-hour news store.
Newsstand.
24 hours will make you scream God.
And this place was opened up just across the street from where another 24-hour bookstore was that got raided basically for illegal workers.
My goodness.
Not of their activity. And that was a nice. That was actually a nice place. It was clean.
bring back the workers.
That turned, I think, into a psychic. The space was turned into a psychic office and a nail salon.
You do your nails. How does read your palm?
All at the same time.
So you go from red palms to red palms.
Or at least red fingernails, anyway.
It'd have been time. Never mind.
Whoa.
We are coming up at the top of the hour here. Coming in will be Zydeco Pasale. So I goofed up when I told that guy.
Huh?
Oh, some guy called up earlier and wouldn't know what time the Zydeco show came on. I got confused. I told him 6 a.m.
Oh, uh-oh.
Whoops.
Uh-oh. Shame on you.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, that's what he gets for calling into the gay show, asking him what else is on.
Go figure, huh?
How do I change this? Well, Mary's not here, so she's not going to be offended by that background. We didn't do it. Coming up next week, we know we'll be having Stage Door Inc. in here with some of the cast of the Rocky Horror Show.
Hoping they don't get the flu.
They might be naked. Yay. If they're in costume, they'll be semi-naked. We can hope.
Oh, I didn't show.
No.
Nude radio?
Nobody showed me anything.
Well, you know, they're wearing stuff in. They're wearing the outfits in the poster.
I've read about
poster.
It. I've read that it's a little more intriguing.
Yes, it's not. This is the play version, not the movie version that was sanitized for your protection. Scary.
Sorry, what's sanity again?
Sanity.
I don't know. I lost it a long time ago.
Obviously.
We're here, aren't we?
Well, but the drug stopped at Virgin.
Like I said, you can catch them down there at Stage Door Theater in Pasadena Town Square, starting this Friday. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., with a special midnight show on Halloween.
Ooh.
Then, like I said, they'll be here next week, and we'll find out who else we're going to have here, who's over the flu, and who will be joining us next week. Hopefully, we'll get the whips in with Master Rich and or Gigi or Dear LeJune.
I like my whipped girls. I miss them. And the floggings. I mean, what? Sorry. Yeah.
As my key slips down memory lane.
Yes, I still talk to them occasionally about when they took my ear off.
Okay.
It was at Louie. She had a new whip. She was trying it out.
Oh.
And, you know, it slipped and, you know, she stopped immediately and took care of it. And, you know, the next day I got up and looked in the mirror and I go, stretch marks? I realized, no, they were welts from the whip because she was at the right distance where I had my back to her and they lapped around to the front. It's like, oh my God.
I like bull whip.
I think it was a dragon tail whip she had.
Ah, well.
Ooh.
I love the smell of leather in the morning.
Hey, like I said, I never understood that until I walked into Eros down in Pasadena, and you go through that door into the leather room,
uh-huh.
And I just took a deep breath, and I go, I understand.
See, doesn't it make sense? I understand.
It's like learning a new language. You have to immerse yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't get too far into the leather. You know, I made that agreement with PETA that, you know, I'd only kill the one herd to get my leather vest.
People for the eating of tasty animals?
And so, you know, when it comes to the rest of the leather outfit, I've had to stay back there because, you know, I just...
Yeah, well...
Yeah. They don't buy the cheese of, you know, I will eat everything inside. You know? it's the getting there. They don't like. You have been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on sponsored commercial radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Hopefully we'll have some big news for you next week. Coming up at the top of the hour, like I said, is Zydeco Pasale.
Yeah.
If you love your accordions, if you love to squeeze it and pull it and make weird sounds, they're ready for you. Coming up before that is going to be your PSAs. If you want to get in touch with us, it's afterhours@kpft.org. You can send us snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just the zip code, but a life.
We'd love to hear from you. Story ideas, news ideas, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
You don't hit that high note as well anymore.
Sorry.
I would say wear tighter shorts, but you got to wear shorts.
I know, right?
This is KPFT Houston, PSA time.
Black is back!
Black is back.
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 The rallying call is Black is back. And all of those people who wanted to be mobilized and do work without fear of being criticized as being anti-black because there's a black president that is now representing white power can know that there's an organization that's on the move, that there's a coalition that is comprised of various kinds of organizations spanning the entire spectrum of philosophy and politics within the anti-imperialist movement in our community.
Black is back!
We are doing this, hopefully, not only to carry out our own responsibility to the peoples of the world, but to reintroduce the struggle of black people to the political arena in this country. So Black is Back, and the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations is the clear statement that we can make that black people are reentering political life despite the fact that Barack Obama is president of the United States.
Black is back and forever will be.
Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
KPFT Houston.
KPFT Houston.